Podcast. It is me, Adam Hunter. We have Alan Juban in studio.
What's up, y'all?
World-class athlete, amazing fighter. Got a huge fight coming up December 16th, right?
December 17th.
December 17th.
Sacramento.
In Sacramento against Mike Perry. We're going to talk about that fight. We have the Greg Wilson.
Hey!
Back, as well as CB Gold.
What's up, guys?
If you like our podcast, you can tip us on Tip a Fighter. I had a crazy last couple days. I went to the post office, not today, on Tuesday, to get my passport done, right? Just a pain in the ass. My passport's expired. So I go to the post office, and I'm arguing with my dad, because my dad's like, it's on the right of Laurel Canyon, and I can't find it. I'm outside the car talking to him. He thinks I'm driving, so we're kind of going back and forth, but so I'm sort of like a little heated. My dad's yelling at me because I don't know where it is, and yada yada. So I go into the post office, and I go to the lady, and I'm like, hey, excuse me, miss, how can I get my passport done? She says, okay, well, we have to do it online, or you can go here, or you can go there. So I go, okay, so where is that again? And then this guy behind me goes, she just told you. So I turn around, I go, excuse me, I'm talking to her, this has nothing to do with you. The guy goes, well, you're a fucking idiot.
Damn.
And this guy was like a little taller than me, skinnier than me, had like a tight shirt on, had steel boots, kind of like, it was, he's, and I'm like, oh, okay, thanks, I'll go, dude. I go, oh, okay, you're a real tough guy. And he goes, just don't fuck with me. Not today, man. Not today.
Did you explain to him you're an eighth grade champion?
I never won. But, like, he's telling me I'm fucking with him.
Right, and he's interjecting himself in your shit.
He jumped into my car and had nothing to do with him.
He was about to go postal at the DMV on you.
Dude,
right.
People are so on edge right now, and it isn't just you. It's everybody across the board. People are freaked out because of this, because of the Trump thing.
So I take
That's what it is. The Trump thing has people freaked out. The fuck out.
He thought Adam was a Trump voter.
I don't know.
He's white, he's, right?
Yeah. I did not vote for Trump, white. But number one.
I'm not saying that. I'm just saying anyone that they looks like someone they think might be a Trump. I mean, people are just on edge because, I mean, they're just freaking out. This is everywhere.
So then the lady's like, relax. She tells me to relax. She's like, okay, calm down to me. And I was like, who the fuck is this, right? And then I take extra long with the lady because I know this guy's behind me and he's in a rush.
Yeah.
So now
sure,
I'm like,
fuck him now.
So now I'm asking 10 different questions.
And they only have one or two ever fucking working at that post office.
So then I'm leaving, and then at this point I'm already, my heart rate's going, and I start laughing at him. I'm like, ha 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 ha, which was kind of a dick move, but
totally.
I was like, this guy was a dick to me.
Yeah, fuck him.
So he goes, oh, tough guy, meet me in the parking lot in 5 minutes, right? So now I go to the parking lot to get my car, right? and then a part of me is like, man, I can't shoot a double on him. I have like no leg. I have a fake tooth in that. Like I just paid like $5,000 for to get my tooth. Yeah. I had to wear a flipper for a year. I'm like, so I've just been doing rehab surgery
on your knee,
on
right?
my knee.
Well, your car's blocked in, so you have no choice.
I still think I can knock the guy out with one punch, you know,
yeah.
Because I'm like, well, but I can't pivot on my punch. If I punch, I can't even pivot because I can fuck up my knee.
Yeah, you could blow out the knee again.
So then I just get in my car and drive away.
That's the best policy.
I'm not going to fight this guy. But I'm like, fuck, man, this guy just...
That isn't worth fighting over.
No. Plus, if someone told me if you fight at the post office, it's government property.
That's a federal crime.
It's a federal crime.
It's a federal thing, yeah.
But I'm like, Jesus, like...
I don't know if it's a federal crime, but I mean, it's federal property.
But am I going to fight on like a Tuesday at noon in the post office?
No, you're not. That guy, people are just...
It has to be. It's so early in the week.
I know, right? This is some, Thursday, Wednesday, Thursday shit.
Better in the week.
Yeah.
But later. I'm like, but I wanted him. And then I look at my car, I'm like, all right, if a guy attacks me, what could I hit him with? And there's like a microphone. So I'm like, a comic. So I go, should I hit him with the fucking microphone? I'm like, no, I'm not going to do any of that. But I'm like, fuck, man. Like, Jesus. It was, so that was my Tuesday. Then I did a show Tuesday. I had two shows Tuesday night.
Yeah.
Dime Bar, which is good. CB actually gave me advice afterwards. He goes, great set, man. You killed. You went a little fast. And he was right. He was actually right. And then I did the improv. I went slower at the improv, and it was a much better set. So thank you, CB, for the constructive criticism.
I'm useful for something about once a year.
So that was good. And then last night I had a set.
And also he's seen you perform like 100 times, so he knows the difference.
Past 100.
Yeah, he knows the difference between the rate you're supposed to be going and the rate. It's basically like a fight. slight breakdown going, he's definitely off his timing right now. he's definitely pushing the action. He's in his head. He just needs to slow down, relax, take a deep breath, and fight his fight.
I've come to a conclusion that he knows I support him and his comedy, and maybe I don't have to show up to every single show.
Yeah, of course.
Can I tell you something? Wait a minute. Before we go any further, when I first got here tonight, right as I was pulling, the cops were pulling in right in front of me, and they pulled in right behind CB's car. So immediately I was like, they got him. They found him. They found the bodies. They found the cats. They found everything. And then CB's not in the car, so they go running into your apartment building. I'm like, oh my God, he fucking killed Adam. It finally happened. He decided to take Adam as a trophy. He managed
but
to squeeze
Adam
off.
Adam died in New York.
He squeezed off a 911, mm-hmm. and now it's going down. So then, and I thought Alan and I would have to do the podcast
alone.
I
saw that, man. I did a little Instagram story. I'm walking up. The cops pull up. Yeah. I'm like, oh, shit.
By the way, I got us all pitas, and if you want some hummus.
Okay.
I'm glad I came in early.
So then last night... I had a show.
No place wait a minute. Is there some kind of Jewish holiday we're not aware of? Is it the feast of Bar Mitzvah? We celebrate with pitas and hummus.
No, it's the week before Thanksgiving
to remind us of our suffering.
It's round. The earth is round.
So then last night I had it was date night, and Bree said, "Look, can I get one night out of the week we're not doing comedy?" And then somebody asked me, "Hey, you want to do adults only bar?" And I said, "No, I'm actually going to do date night."
You turned down work?
I did. Well,
what do you mean adults only bar?
It's though? It's this new bar called Adults Only.
It used to be a porno shop.
Yeah, now it's a comedy place. It's actually dirtier as a comedy place than it was as a porno shop. Yeah.
That's really dirty.
Well, because there's a guy that cleans everything up at a porno shop.
It is kind of weird doing comedy where you know people have jerked off and But anyway, so it was good. I had a good night. And by the way, Greg, I heard that you, CB went to your birthday show.
Yes.
And I said, how was Greg?
The late show.
I go, how was Greg set? He goes, he did mostly crowd work, he murdered, but then did a line of coke on stage.
Not a full line, just a bump.
Now, is this your new closer?
No, it was just, I don't know, I was like, oh yeah, I should do some coke on. Someone challenged me to it or something.
I don't know
how it came up.
It might have been Tomino Ningerfrin.
Oh yeah, Tomino.
There was a point where he was drinking, he was having fun, he was partying, it's his birthday, it's cool. He's like, all right, I gotta get out of here, I think I'm done. He's like, well, if I do a bump, is Terry here? And he turns around, he looks, and then he turns around, he goes, all right, I got another half hour.
Craig, let's say I'm a movie producer, right?
Yeah.
Or I'm a TV producer.
Okay.
And I'm like, you know, this guy would be great for my show.
Yeah.
And then I see you do a line of coke.
Nobody saw it. He turned around.
I turned my back to the audience.
Oh, so it could have been fake coke?
Could have been fake.
Do you think anyone believed that it was fake coke?
The guys on the side. The guys on the side
probably
seen it.
Do you think anyone believed you actually did coke? Do you believe anyone thought it wasn't?
The people on the side could probably see, and that drunk woman that was with all the gay guys.
Yeah,
she probably got you kicked out of the club or some shit. She seems like that type of person.
Jesus,
she was on one.
Oh, she was a mess. She was a total mess.
And because of you, by the way. At the fight party for 205 that I had, when we ordered Domino's, me and my friend that came with me, all we kept saying was Domino's.
Domino's. Give me that Domino's.
And I yelled sweet, sweet Struve when he did it.
Yeah.
Me, Eve, and him were the only ones in the building that got it.
So, Alan, let's talk about you, man. You got a fight coming up, and this dude is coming at you on Twitter. First of all, most of the guys you fight, I'm like, even Bilal, I'm like, Bilal's a respectful guy, good fighter.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, what happened to that guy last
every one
weekend?
Of you guys, you know, when you fought Chitty Bang Bang, cool guy. Pretty much even that tall redheaded kid you fought from Australia.
Richard Walsh.
Richard Walsh.
Is he redheaded?
This guy.
Or was that just all the blood in his hair?
And I've always rooted for you, but I've always like not rooted against your opponent. You know, I've always like, okay, I'm rooting for Alan.
Okay.
I'm not rooting against his opponent. I'm rooting for Alan, but it's not like it's not personal. But this guy, you gotta beat this guy, man. I mean, this guy,
yeah, man.
He has blackface and says the N-word. He insults.
He's a Trump supporter.
He insults all kinds of
people. He's Greg on Friday night.
He's an asshole. I mean, he just goes off. Some of the things he said about you. Talk to me about this guy.
Yeah, man. I don't even know where to begin. And really, it's like you said, man. Most guys that I fight, there's a pretty good mutual respect, and. With him, he, every morning I wake up and there's five or ten tweets, you know, and he goes on throughout the day.
Jesus Christ.
Yeah, he's on it, man. He's on it. But
so he's amped up and has nothing else to do.
He wants a bromance.
The thing is, it's like if he had Look, if he had wit to it, if he had some catchy shit going on, if you know, if he said something and I was like, damn, that was good, he got me. Then, you know, I might not tweet it, but I have to kind of respect it. Okay, he's good or he's on. But I feel like he got beat up by an 8-year-old and like they hijacked his Twitter account. I mean, his fucking his tweets are so elementary, bro. I mean, it's just like stupid shit. I'm gonna punch your fucking face in, you pretty bitch. Like every morning, it's the same shit.
I'm gonna fuck your face with my fist.
And, yeah, like stupid shit. I'm gonna fuck your face with my fist. And I'm like, bro, like what kind of like weird ass shit was that? And then he's like, fuck you, Joe Ban. Like he has the stupidest responses, bro. And I just feel like I could murder this guy. If I wanted, but I don't have the time and the effort, you know. Like,
this goes back to what he went through. It's like sometimes it's not worth it.
Yeah,
you know what I mean.
It's like a troll. It's like a troll. Okay, right. If you're gonna go back and forth with a troll all day, who's sitting in the basement in the mother's basement, tweeting you back, it's like you're never gonna win. And that's
right. You're just validating them. There's no point. Exactly. Let them just go off. Silence is your. I say that all the time. Silence is your best weapon.
You talking
about
that with
Bubba? Because that's what actually drives them crazy.
Yeah.
That's what makes them tweet more. They're like, right? Is he not seeing this? Why is this? Does he not care? And that's when you're actually psychologically winning the war.
That's what happened yesterday, man. He went on. I woke up. There was 3 or 4 tweets. One of them kind of like rubbed me the wrong way, so I came back at him and I kind of crushed him with just one tweet. And then later that night, I didn't check my Twitter all day. I go back that night, like right before bed, and he had tweeted like 7 or 8 times since my tweet. So I knew that all day he was just fuming on it. And I was thinking, man, should I come back on this dude? And I was like, no, fuck it, man. I'm just going to let him fume on this shit all night. I'm going to sleep peacefully while I'm in his head. He's a douchebag, man. Like, I don't want to get too much into it. I'm not really a guy that likes to throw out insults. I'm not really a negative guy in that way. But there's only, you know, if somebody pushes you, I'm going to push him back. And with him, it's like he's always trying to do something like that. I feel like he's a bit confused, this guy, because it's like this will be his 3rd fight in the UFC within 5 or 6 months. And so I don't know if this is really who this guy's identity is, or if this guy is just kind of thinks, I'm in the UFC.
He's trying to play the media game.
I need to do the Conor McGregor. I just won 2 fights. I'm fighting Allen. Let me just like get the media talking about it, this and that, which is fine. He has created some buzz over the fight, so I'm not mad at that. But I think he's kind of lost in it. I think he doesn't really realize like what he's saying or what he's doing, or like he doesn't have to do this every fight. I'm not sure, man. I'm not the way
he
tweets me.
He said, "I'm not doing any cardio because I'm just gonna knock you out in the first round."
Is that the one that he put a finger with a peach emoji, like a finger in a butt? So he finishes that one with a finger in a butt. I wanted to come back.
A mid fight finger bang? Yeah. A planned mid fight finger bang?
I was like, bro, so you're trying to like, do you want to
guys?
I know the wrong guy. Me or you're finger banging yourself? Or you're tweeting? I was so confused by that
one.
Maybe he was fingering his own asshole. Because that's how you get your best orgasm. That's what I've heard. I haven't done it.
Where was he?
That's what I've heard.
I
paid good money to have it done. I wouldn't do it myself.
He said, "Eat what I want, party, and beat you anyways." Crying. Mm-hmm. And he goes, "The second one, Alan Jabon. I'm gonna. So and then the second gonna had one end. First one,
right. I called him out on that because he misspells like the word the and like he misspells every fucking thing. And look, I'm no rocket scientist, but the guy's a moron.
I'm going to exclamation point smash. That's all caps. You're stupid freaking face in. And then there's a space before the next exclamation point. It goes, I didn't know.
Now you're being critical.
I don't.
We all do that. I mean, come on.
Then he goes, Alan Jabon, I didn't know gonna even count it as a word. Not really sure what that means. Got me there.
Yeah. What?
I can admit when I'm wrong, but I'm gonna kill you, so double middle fingers. Alan Jabon, models and fighters aren't necessarily the smartest bunch. You're both. Definition of a true dumbass. But he didn't put a period after dumbass. And then he goes, "I'm gonna do the juju on the beat when I put him to sleep. I made 2 opponents do the nay nay."
Right, he misspelled juju. He misspelled glide. Yeah. That's the one.
What the fuck? I've seen most of them, but the juju and the nay nay.
Yeah,
bro,
he's not training. He's learning how to dance.
It's ridiculous, man. It's like he probably could not even finish a coloring book. The guy.
And then he goes, "I've been thinking about you, pretty boy.
Finish a color." That was pretty good, Alan. You should save that for after the fight.
Every day I want to tweet these things, but I don't. I hold, bite my tongue every night.
Because I've been thinking about you, pretty boy. My hand's gonna make sweet love to your face.
That one was really weird.
Yeah.
Didn't you respond like you forgot?
Is that a threat? Like, because I don't feel threatened after this, bro. I feel sorry. sorry for you.
Didn't you
way,
say
you know?
To that one? Didn't you reply and say
yeah,
you
I
forgot
said you
no homo?
Say no homo, dude. But like. Like everything he does,
because that was like super homo.
Yeah, it's like everything's really weird, bro. I don't like they're not threatening at all, and they're not like they're not witty. Then it's
I will say in terms of his camp or where he trains, like this may not be like a fake persona because the other guy in his camp that always corners him, Alex Nicholson,
who
just lost Sam Alvey.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, he went on a fucking Twitter tirade with Elias Theodoro when he was scheduled to fight Sam Alvey.
Yeah,
and I was reading those.
So they don't like the good-looking fighters.
I think they got a problem.
I'm not calling their camp racist. I mean, I think emotions go, but this is the same camp, the same corner that... When Mike made his debut, they were fighting the Korean guy,
Hyung-Woo Lim.
And they made that comment like, "Oh, his eyes are so slanted, he can't see." And they
kicked him out of the weigh-ins.
Exactly. So, I mean, you know what I'm saying? Like, it's not a likable bunch, and it's funny because they have a small following, man, and it like bugs me because this following that follows this guy. Yeah, I like to see exciting fights. This guy puts on exciting fights. Okay, I can respect that. But as a person, if you're like following this guy and you're going like team Platinum, team Perry, like that just means that you're a lost sheep, man. Because, like, you can get some guy with tattoos on his face, pounding his chest, saying stupid shit, and all of a sudden you're on his team. You're a moron.
He goes, "I'm glad you're ready to die. Now I won't feel bad, too bad." So, yeah. I mean, first of all, like, you're ready to die. I mean, at what point?
Well, I think I said something about, like, yeah, like, you know, something. I'd mentioned something going into that about, like, you know, I go in there ready to die or something like that or some shit. He said he's going to kill me or some stupid shit. I don't know.
I mean, this dude, I mean, but he's, I mean, it seems like he's missing the whole martial art aspect of this.
He's missing a lot of, yeah, he's missing some, like you said, some periods and some.
But also missing, like, the respect factor of it.
Yeah, man, and I get it. If there was a competitive nature that a way that he came at me, you know, like if he came at me, look, I called out in the last 6 weeks, I called out Matt Brown, Patrick Cote, and Donald Cerrone. I'm not saying that my way is the right way. Everybody has a different way about doing it. But I called these guys out, but I have respect for these guys. So I said, look, Matt Brown, I said, look, dude, I'm looking for a top 15er fight in December. You got plans, you know? Like, I'm not talking shit on this dude's family or nothing. Cowboy,
you're inviting
cowboy,
them
you wanna
to
fight,
a fight.
I want to fight Madison
You're not saying
Warren.
Cowboy ready to die. I mean, that's...
Yeah,
fucking,
like, I'm not
going to
fuck your butt. Like, fucking
Cowboy, like, I'm going to put a saddle on you and ride you bareback.
Exactly.
Into the Brokeback Mountain, you know?
And it's like... It's a,
yeah, for, I mean, a, no, for it's, a dream weekend of fist fighting and massage parties.
He's saying, I'm going to make you my bitch. I'm going to make you my bitch. I'm going to fuck your pretty little face up. Yeah, I mean, he's just like...
It's weird, bro. He's off.
But
so, long story short, it's going to be like... I'm not losing any sleep over this guy. But yeah, it puts that extra little incentive in there to knock this guy out, you know, with a smile on my face for sure.
Is there a danger, though? Because it seems like this guy is one of the first guys you really didn't like who you're fighting. Is there a danger of, like, getting into a war... Where you could sort of beat him with technique, and now it's like, oh shit, now I'm going to get into a street fight with this guy?
Yeah, I mean, honestly, I don't think he's that smart where he's trying to draw me in. He's not Conor McGregor smart where he makes people play a different game. He's not that smart. He's just doing what he knows, which is dumb shit. But that's exactly right, man. Like, I'm a better fighter than this guy in every aspect. But is he still dangerous? Yes, he's very dangerous. He's got a lot of power. He swings for the fences. And he lands his shots because he's 9-0 with 9 knockouts. So eventually he catches guys. But I've seen guys like him. He's another undefeated fighter. My last guy was another undefeated fighter that thought they were going to be the champion within 3 fights. And I derailed that train. I'm going to do the same thing with this guy. I just got to fight smart, man. Obviously, if I
he wants to get you emotional. He wants to get you emotional, so you lose your game.
Stood in the pocket. Right. Yeah, I could definitely get caught. You know, it's definitely a chance. This guy has a high percentage of catching people, but no, his trash talk definitely isn't doing that. It's good.
At the same time, it's amateur hour.
Trash talk.
At the same time, though, you think it's a disadvantage for him because he's coming in super emotional now and he's super pissed because I don't remember
like
him
that's
going.
His game plan though. That, if you watch,
you think
his
so? Because I haven't. He didn't.
He
go,
wants to be hot.
His last fight was good, but he got tagged a lot.
Yeah. But he didn't come in with the Twitter war against Danny Roberts.
See, that's
and
what
he didn't
I
want to
know. I don't know
it
if
against
he does
Young
this with every fighter.
He didn't do it with his last
he
two.
Didn't do, okay, yeah,
that one fight at UFC 200. Remember they went to shake hands and he put
the
his
Asian
hand
guy
down
and he was
screaming in the guy's face and you're like, what a fucking dick.
Yeah,
but.
But it wasn't on Twitter going weeks beforehand. He wasn't going off on him. And he didn't do it with Danny Roberts on his last fight. So I think this is like, that's I don't know. He's got a hard on for you for some reason.
Yeah, if this is something that was always in a pattern for him, then maybe he performs well and freaking himself out over fights, you know, and... but if this is something new, then yeah, it might not play in his favor, man.
It's new for this
fight. He's spending a lot of time, bro. No, I told my coach this. It's like, people can say shit doesn't get in their head all they want. But look, if you go tell somebody, fuck you, bro, I'm going to beat your ass. You don't, after that, go home and watch Desperate Housewives or some bullshit.
Yeah.
It's in your head for like 20, 30 minutes. You're like, you're telling yourself, man, I just said fuck you. This dude looked at me, this and that. You're talking to your girlfriend, your wife. It's in you. You're thinking about it for a minute. And if this guy's tweeting me 10 times a day saying all this shit, he's constantly thinking about me, man. So I'm doing the right thing, man. I'm getting my training in.
He tweeted Tyron Woodley after his win. Great job, T. Woodley. Yeah. I'm coming for you, motherfucker.
Did he really?
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
His post fight after 200, he got on the mic and he goes, I know I'm new, but I'm telling all 170 to look out. I'm like, you're calling out a lot of people. Like,
yeah.
Well, I mean, a big part of that is the Conor McGregor effect, which is, it seems like the talking elevates your career a lot faster.
Right.
You know, so they all want to take that route now. And nobody wants to be the first guy. Everybody wants to be the second guy.
Yeah. And Conor's a fucking black belt at shit talking, though, man. Like you said.
Yeah, no, that's the other thing. He's clever as shit.
If you're in Conor McGregor's division, it sucks because, like, you kind of want to be a fan. But you can't, because he's in your division. He's your competition, so you fucking hate him. But if you're not in your division, you respect him. You're like, dude, this guy is a fucking black belt at shit talking. He's fucking fight his ass off. He breaks all the records, you know, on and on and on. Like I said, not to keep talking about Mike Perry, but this guy is a fucking white belt in shit talking, and he hasn't really faced anybody yet. Yeah. Now he's saying he's going to smash me in 2 minutes. Like, bullshit, man. Not happening.
Well, the other...
be a little scared, because, first of all, he hasn't been...
the sound of PETA.
He hasn't fought anyone with your power yet.
Yeah. His last opponent was the closest to me. It was a southpaw striker who's similar to me, but the guy didn't have the killer instinct that I do.
He's not. Danny Roberts isn't up to your level, though.
Yeah. No, we were supposed to fight, and he didn't. Danny Robinson was supposed to fight before Bilal, and Danny backed out.
See, this is the dark side of male modeling. You really... You know what I mean? Yeah, you get all the perks. You get all the puss. You're in the mags. But then guys like this, you know, they think you're a cream puff.
I've never seen a more clear... I've never, like... Normally, as an MMA roasted account, I don't take sides. Mm-hmm. You know, I root for certain guys, but I don't root against them. But knowing you, Alan, knowing the kind of person you are, the teacher, the guy that, like, gives away his clothes. Like, I went to one of your classes. He literally had 30 shorts and t-shirts going, guys, I don't want this anymore. Who wants my stuff?
Well, like, you get them all from the shoot. Like, you just give them away. It's quality stuff.
Why don't I have any of this stuff?
I have a pair of your Muay Thai shorts in my closet.
He's never washed them.
I mean, you're a guy.
He wears them as a night mask.
You're a faithful guy who could get so much pussy and you don't. Yeah. You're a family guy. You're a good father.
It's a waste.
I mean, you're a nice. I've never rooted for somebody. Like, sometimes good things happen. People are like, ah, fuck that guy. Never with you, Alan. All right, this guy. I can't think of one redeeming quality just based on what he's shown. Maybe other people who know him will say something different.
Right.
But based on what he's shown, I'm just like, man, fuck this guy. Like,
If he couldn't talk, if he was mute, and then, like, you saw his fighting style only, you'd be like, okay, he's, you know, exciting fighter. He's got a lot of holes in his game, but he knocks people out. But then as soon as he opens his mouth, he's an idiot. And, like, I can't respect people based only on what they do inside the cage. You know, it's a lot of other factors. And this guy, he has everything weighing.
Are you getting
him.
Perry fans coming at you at all?
He's got a small following, man. And they're more, like I said, man, they're sheep. They're sheep. They see a guy with tattoos banging on his chest saying, I'm about to be the next champ in like three fights. I'm gonna take the belt and knocking everybody out. And I'm like, bro, like, slow your roll, bro. I know how it is. You get into the UFC, you win your first fight right away. You're like, shit, that was the biggest payday in my life. I'm fighting on TV. I want to fight again. I'm not injured. So he's on that roll right now, and he's like, he's got the social media talking. But like, as soon as he experiences his first loss, he's gonna be like, or his first injury, or like a tough fight, he's gonna be like, damn, okay, like, let me take a little time off. He's gonna realize it.
Hopefully,
No, he will. He will. I know how it is, man. Yeah. Like, you get hurt, you get your nose broken, you go through a freaking war. You're just like, okay.
Now this card, slow down. This is Waterson Paige VanZant.
Yeah. They're headlining the card.
So the Sacramento, it's on Fox TV.
Jirai Faber's retirement
Big
fight.
Big Fox, Jirai Faber's retirement, and so the Karate Hottie versus Paige Van Zandt. Mm-hmm. Who probably who are the second and third prettiest person on the card. Yeah. but it's gonna be good. I can't wait for this.
It's a good card. They're stacking it up.
Are you and Perry on the main card?
Yeah. We're like either the Coco main event, or somewhere on the main card for sure. I think we were like, the second or third fight until...
Hello, the Coco. Yeah, that's Coco. Great. That's like saying my neighborhood is Beverly Hills adjacent.
I like how he said Coco and your eyes lit up. You're like, speaking of Coco...
let me turn around real quick.
Yeah. Hold on a second. Let me do a little during the pod. A little mid-podcast bumperooski.
Yeah, I think somebody who might have got a higher placement in this card is... what's his name, man? Sage Northcutt versus Mickey Gao.
Oh my God. Now the girls are the third and fourth best looking people on this fucking card.
By the way, Kevin Lee said that Mickey Gao is not a professional fighter because he only fought a wrestler so far. He only fought a wrestler and a reporter. Those are his two wins, and Mike Jackson and CM Punk. Yeah. I think Mickey Gall is a real fighter, but if you look at it through that perspective, you're like, holy shit, that's true. He fought a guy that went back to work reporting who interviewed himself after the fight. And Michael Jackson.
You gotta have a side hustle.
He interviewed himself? Is that a joke?
He was working the fight on like the press row, went in, got knocked out in 30 seconds, and then a fight later went back to work.
What?
You're like, dude, I mean, no offense, bro, but just take the night off. You just got knocked down.
Can see Mickey Gao is like, he's got potential. He's a young kid, and he's like good on, you can see his jiu-jitsu's tight.
He's a brown belt.
His striking's there. You just haven't seen, it's just more to it. Like, I used to look at fights on paper and be like, okay, this guy's 6'2", I'm 6 feet. He's a brown belt, I'm a pro, whatever it may be. But now it's like, that shit doesn't matter. Your resume's okay, but it's about experience, ring time, how do you perform under pressure, this and that.
I think Mickey Gall has that kind of deceptive Diaz brother type body, right? It doesn't look particularly strong, doesn't look particularly, durable, but still comes out very strong.
A lot of it
strong,
is, can you take a punch? That's also a big thing. It's like, we've never seen him take a punch. He's up in TriStar now. Training with GSP and those guys.
Well, it's funny, man, because Sage was up at TriStar, too.
Yeah, he lasted like a week or something.
And
His dad pulled him. Interesting. So, from the looks of the website, you're the fourth from last. Okay. So you have three fights ahead of you. Northcutt and Gall is the co-main.
Oh, my God.
And Mariah Faber, Brad Pickett, is what he called the co-co. Which I think is stupid. You're in Sacramento. You give Uriah Faber his retirement fight.
And now it's time for the Coco.
But the card, there's a lot of other good fights.
It's the UFC version.
Dugaki. You got Barbarina and Covington.
Wow, that's
you got Mutazi on the card. Leslie Smith and Irene Aldana.
It's a welterweight kumite, bro. It's like seven welterweight fights. It's like I think it's a perfect opportunity for me, honestly, because it's on Big Fox. It's all welterweights. And it's like whoever does good this night is just going to put the whole division on check. You know what I'm saying? Everybody in the division is going to be watching it. Whoever wins their fight, puts on a big display, is going to like change the rankings dramatically.
Well, Barbarina Covington is a great fight.
What's kumite? It sounds like some underground Chinese competition.
Blood sport.
That's what I thought. I was like,
the thing I don't understand is I thought Sage was staying at 155, and now he's staying at 170. He's going up the 15.
He had puberty last week.
Well, because he lost at 170.
Actually, he lost so bad his balls dropped.
He beat Enrique Marin at UFC 200.
He got squeezed real hard.
That was 155.
He got squeezed real hard.
But he's back to 170.
That was an ugly fight, man. Like, I kind of, like, without sounding like a hater, I didn't think that fight deserved to be on that card on UFC 200. There was so many high-level fights. Everybody had 20-plus fights, and then there was, like, Sage and that guy, they had a total of like six fights.
I think they get.
They're doing Sage Van Zandt on this one.
I think the UFC gets an idea of who they think should and will be a star, and they don't let one loss derail it, but two probably does. And Northcutt definitely has that look, and especially with the WME era now of like, I mean, do I think Michelle Waterson versus Paige Van Zandt is the main event of the card? Right. No, I honestly don't. I mean, Michelle Waterson has one win in the UFC over Angela Magana.
What is she, 1-1?
She's 1-0 in the UFC.
A one fight period.
Yeah, but she's been injured like
she's
three
the karate
different times.
What happened to the other girl that was the karate hottie?
Who's that?
The little Asian girl that they called the karate.
That is
the same girl?
Michelle Waterson.
And I understand that Paige Van Zandt's, one in her last two fights, was losing against Roddy Beck, caught her with a great kick, but is she the headliner I mean, there's
I don't think so.
I think Uriah Faber.
She wears those shorts she wore the last time she is. Boy, I was happy with that short choice. I was like, you're getting my money.
But Uriah Faber deserves to be the headliner about on what this guy has accomplished.
Especially since his chin is the best ass.
And it's in his hometown. I mean, it's Sacramento is Uriah Land.
Uriah
that's
Faber.
So weird. Why wouldn't? Yeah, that's bizarre.
I mean, that's
maybe
like,
they'll
I
switch
mean,
it up.
Is he the Kobe?
Because it's not pay per view.
Is he the Kobe Bryant of MMA? No. But he's a guy that single-handedly carried the WEC. Mm-hmm. I mean, not single-handedly, but he was a huge... I remember people saying, yo, who's that guy, that Uriah Faber guy? When they didn't even watch mostly fighting. And then in some ways, he's one of the reasons why the UFC even took the lower.
I think it's because it being on big... If it was Fox Sports 1, I think maybe they would put Uriah up there. But I think since it's on Big Fox, with no pun intended, they want to like keep it sexy. You know what I'm saying?
I agree.
They know Greg. They
and
know
listen,
Greg
no, but that's the thing. I only imagine that in the Fox inner circle of decision makers, there's one guy who's a real fight fan. And everybody else, they're looking at all the fights and all the suits are like, well, clearly you got to put up the hot girls. And he's like, are you kidding me? Are you out of your mind? Uriah Faber's a legend. All right, thank you. Thank you, Ron. You've made your point clear.
Did you see that kick?
But have you seen the metrics? These two are charting.
But if you put him on, if they put him on the co-main event,
have you seen their
is anyone
going to
really turn off Fox? When
I jerked off three times during this meeting.
I totally understand. I think you're right. But if you look at, like, is anyone going to go, okay, the girls are done fighting, I'm turning it off? Like, no, if you put them on, like, in the middle of the card.
Exactly, but that's what they're afraid is going to happen. And the one fight fan in the room is like, this is unbelievable. You guys are fucking idiots.
The weird thing is which kind of, like, addresses the point, they're opening the card with a female fight, too.
Who's that?
Leslie Smith and Irene Aldana. Yeah. Okay. And it's Aldana's debut in the UFC. And it's like, okay, so we got the girls at the beginning, we got the girls at the end. I guess these guys will stay on the same channel until...
Is Leslie coming... Leslie Smith came... Fought Cyborg.
Yeah.
Yes.
Is this she's coming off of the Cyborg fight?
Yeah. Her loss.
Yeah, and Aldana's coming up from Invicta after just getting her victory a few weeks ago.
She's a beast. I mean, Leslie, that should be a good fight.
That's a great fight.
I just... It is kind of annoying, though. I mean, I'm not hating on the karate hottie, and of course, I love seeing hot chicks... Just probably more than the next guy, but it's
that's the next guy.
I don't know about that.
but
a good one, CB.
But I do worry that this whole WME like takeover of the UFC will be resulting in more super fights, less fights that make sense for the rankings.
Yeah,
more Paige VanZant karate hottie main events, which don't really make sense. I mean, Colby Covington is what 11-1. Brian Barberena is coming off 3 wins in a row against Sage Northcutt, Warley Alves, and Joe Ellenberger. He's also 10-1. I mean, those two guys deserve to be on the card more than the VanZant karate hottie. I'm sorry, but that's just the way.
I agree.
And I'm really gonna fuck up your day because now there's bets. You can take bets because of the WME era of who Conor's next opponent is. And Stephen Thompson, I think, is like a plus 5,000. There's actually odds on who Conor's next opponent will be. And Woodley's on there. Wonderboy's on there. Aldo's on there.
Let's discuss it. Who do you think he should fight next?
Who do I think he should fight is Khabib.
Tyron Woodley.
By the way, there's a couple things let me say about this. First of all, you could watch the Fox footage of... Like, they have this thing now
where... It's called the thrill and the agony.
Where Khabib is punching Michael Johnson in the face. And you hear him saying to Michael Johnson, hey, man, just please tap out. It's my time. I want that title shot. Yeah. I've never seen a more nicer guy and more, like...
While he was elbowing him.
While he's like, doing that, he's like, it's the nicest, scariest.
I was going to say, that has to be the biggest mind fuck in the world.
You don't
Because it's
this.
One thing to have a nightmare about a guy who's enraged, saying evil shit, spitting on you,
but
beating the fuck out of you.
Bears?
But but to have someone up there going, hey, man, you want to get a latte after this? You want to... You like them scones? You know? Like
Can we get some mozzarella sticks? Yeah,
let's go for that 2 for $20 after this fight. You know, and you're
it
like,
was,
stop being nice to me.
It really reminded me of like those villains in the movies where they're like super nice before they kill you.
Yeah.
Like it's
yeah.
just a job to them.
He talked shit to Michael Johnson while beating him up and then went to his corner and started while he was getting the corner working on him, was yelling at Dana White the entire time.
Yeah, he
in
was.
Between rounds and,
going, hey man, I'm going to beat your star. Yeah. And then Dana's like, just beat Michael Johnson first. Please focus on the guy in front of you.
So yeah. so that fight, that matchup, I think interestingly enough, next year they are planning on going to Russia at some point. So that would be a super fight. And I think that's what Khabib was kind of talking about. He was saying, like, I think, didn't he say something about, like, there's, I don't know, I'm just making up numbers, like 10 million people in Ireland and 20 million people. He was, like, saying, look, we got more people in Russia. Come here. It'll be the biggest
UFC in Russia, though. I heard it wasn't. That, like,
I don't think they've ever been there, but I've
but
heard,
I'm saying as far as on TV and stuff, is it broadcast
in
Russia?
I'm not sure, but I've
no,
heard...
No, but it is stolen and rebroadcast via Russian server.
The cable guys there?
Which, by the way, I have to say thank you for that, Russia. I don't like what you did to the election, but I've the free UFC that, fights, I'm not
thinking about going there for a big pay-per-view and even possibly buying a smaller organization and then just taking all the fighters from there and putting them on the card. That way they already have an established promotion and fan base.
So that's
already.
Who I think should get the next shot. I think you have rankings for a while, you have one guy who's 24-0. By the way, Snoop Dogg. He's Snoop Dogg.
I still watched it. I saved it, but I haven't watched it.
One of the funniest things.
Oh, the breakdown.
A Snoop Dogg watching Khabib go, yo, this man Khabib, this is mine. And he says, my N-word. Yo, that's him right there. Yo, this motherfucker, that's my dude. Like, he's just saying, like, in the most, but like, now I'm really making it nice what he's saying.
Right.
It is the funniest thing you've ever seen. Hilarious. Someone said he needs to replace
You should find that video and tweet it.
Oh, I did.
You did.
Yeah. Super funny.
He also said that Khabib tweeted out, and I don't know if this is him or somebody else, Ali, but he said, I'm getting the next title shot or I have other plans and it's not in the UFC.
And that's the thing. You know, if Bellator could grab Khabib, right, they have stakes and we have the best 155-pounder in the world. And that's the thing. It's like they have... You know, that's what they need. They need, like, they have Phil Davis, the 205 champion, okay? Phil Davis lost to Anthony Johnson. He lost to Rashad Evans. You could say he's among the top five, but he's not the best. Right now, they need a guy who they can claim as the best. Mm-hmm. That would be a huge thing to get someone like, you know, Khabib or a GSP.
And it would also, you know, somebody on the rise as opposed to somebody... You know, right. The
if they could, if they sign Khabib within tonight or tomorrow night, which I know it's not going to happen, Ben's going to guarantee lose his fight on purpose.
Ben who?
Henderson.
Oh, why? Because
if he knew that he beat Chandler and then had to fight Khabib, that's tough. But I mean, I would love to see Chandler. And
I mean,
Khabib
also look as good as Khabib looked wrestling wise. He looked a little bit susceptible as far as taking Johnson's shots. He
wasn't
hurt.
That's why people aren't that worried about Conor.
And if Conor hits him the way Johnson hit him, I think that fight would be over in 2 minutes.
Yeah. If you go to the ground with him, you're in serious trouble. But man, he got hit quite a few times. I mean, Michael Johnson has a way. He has long arms and he throws. Shots just like, you know, he throws them out there one after another. So he has a way of landing on people. I mean, you just saw him knock out Dustin Poirier his last fight. But yeah, I agree, man. I thought his striking looked a little suspect. Didn't look as good as
who do you think should be Conor's next fight?
Man, I don't know yet. I still feel like I'm still feeling the wrath of 205. But I think it should be in the 205 division, man. I'd love to see him go and rematch
the
Jose.
205 division?
I mean, what did I say? 205? Yeah. 55 division.
I was like, Jesus.
205.
You're saying, UFC 205.
Somebody tweeted us saying it's going to be funny when he takes Stipe's title. And I'm like, dude, if they offered him that shit, he probably fucking would.
I'm sure he would, man. Yeah, I think 55 because I don't see him cutting back down to 45. I'd love to see what really would happen if him and Jose would go at it again. But I think it should be one of the 55ers, either Khabib. Tony Ferguson and him really dynamic.
That would be a hell of a fight.
Yeah, have you trained with Ferguson?
Off and on, man. Off and on. He's kind of one of these guys that like runs his own show. You know, he has all his coaches. He comes into Black House now and then. I wish he would come more, man, because I get good benefit from having him as a partner, and I can tell he does too, man. He's not used to having like that team setting where he's not calling the shots, and so when he comes in here, man, and we're like grueling wrestling practice, I could tell that like he's like, damn, I'm not used to like, you know, people just coming one after another.
Now, do you guys spar together?
We haven't sparred that much, man. It's usually when we get together, it's for wrestling.
I mean, Ferguson, you know, his last fight worried me a little. Not the Dos Anjos one.
The Venata fight, Lando
Venata fight, and I know that guy took on short notice, but that guy hurt him. a bunch.
Yeah.
And I do get nervous, like, that Conor just hits like a fucking, like a 185 pounder. You know, he's, when he hits you, the guys are just, they've never been hit that hard. It's sort of like when Cyborg hits these girls.
It's the timing.
It's the timing, but it's also the power. Sometimes power is God-given. You can work on your power, but a lot of times either you have power or you don't.
It's both. I agree, because Eddie said after the fight, they said, were you surprised by Conor's power? And he goes, you know what? The power was there, but it was more so the shot that I didn't see coming, the timing. Like, as soon as I was throwing my shot, something came out of nowhere, and it had power on it, but I wasn't... He wasn't able to brace for it, and I think he just wasn't used to that speed that he had.
That was the observation that I was seeing when I was watching that fight, was his timing is such that he uses your power against you. Mm-hmm. He gets you to use your momentum, your power, to combine with his to ruin you. Yeah. And I think that's where the extra power comes from, because when you look at him, he doesn't look like he's that physically powerful. But that timing, it adds his strength to your strength against you. You know, I got to tell you, listen, man, I don't know, but Conor's that fight, he was so impressive. I was like, okay, now I got to get a Conor McGregor tattoo.
No, this is funny. Really?
Of course not. Are you kidding me? But I mean, I actually thought that for a second.
He got like, 6'1".
Of course he did. He had to get one on his penis.
Why don't you get an Alan Jabon tattoo?
Where's your newest Conor? Let me see that one.
Although you have to see, and that's what you talk about. And that's what you talk about. Shit talking.
The what?
The three dates. They go like in between.
Oh, those are the, what? Those are
that's
his fight
UFC
dates?
Debut, his featherweight title win over Aldo, and
holy
his
shit.
Lightweight title win.
Dude,
over
I
Eddie.
Didn't know you were that hardcore.
That's the sixth he has tattoo. A Conor McGregor phone case. Conor McGregor six tattoos.
I also have several of his nail clippings and what I call a pube ball.
Did you see?
What's a pube ball?
It's a pube ball. Well, first I have to sleep in his underwear for 2 days, and you got to remove them in such a way that he actually doesn't notice it.
Okay.
So you have to wait till he's twisting, and then kink, and then you get one, and then after about 2 days, I have a good 14 to 18 hairs.
Welcome back, Alan.
14 to 18 hairs, yes.
And I add it to my pube ball collection.
Did you see the black Dodge Challenger sitting in front of the door?
It's no, made up man. Only of 40% pubes.
The license plate is Mystic Mag.
Really?
Yeah.
Wait, what were the ones that you?
I
wanted
knew you were a hardcore fan, but like the date is serious, because it's not even like a picture, like a cool picture. You have like dates. That's like,
well, these
that's
are
some
the three biggest
shit,
moments of
you know
his
mean?
UFC career.
Now CB, I heard you were planning on getting more tattoos if he wins his next fight. What were you gonna get?
Well, I'm gonna get a tattoo of his beard, of his goatee, around my butthole.
Really?
That's right.
Now why is that?
Because my butthole does a lot of shit talking.
Okay, there you go. That's great, man. Well,
I'd rather have this than people tweeting me thinking I was Joe the other day talking about trannies. Okay, so this is a little bit better.
You missed it, Greg. So our sound, I don't think trannies is like the right word. They get upset when you call them trannies. That's why I didn't retweet him. But Joe the sound guy says he masturbates to transgender porn.
Chicks with dicks.
Sometimes you gotta get weird.
Yeah. Have you ever done that?
I don't think chicks with dicks... Maybe, if I was really because when I used to play this game...
You said Caitlyn Jenner.
I didn't beat off Caitlyn Jenner. I'm just saying if I had the opportunity to fuck Caitlyn Jenner, I'd fuck Caitlyn Jenner. Okay, that's different. Again, this is Olympic, transgendered, gold-winning, record-setting ass. Now, that's right. A rare ass.
Okay, so what were you saying about you jerked off to transgender porn?
I don't jerk off to transgender porn, although I can't say it hasn't happened. Like, in a deep Coke binge, yes. Sometimes you got to get weird.
Come on.
You know, but I don't remember ever looking at tranny porn, though.
Why is vagina not
I think,
doing...
like it was mostly just like first BBC and stuff
well,
like that.
Well, it got
you
a
know?
Little bit weirder that I know you haven't gone, because Joe said he jerks off to a dude sucking another dude's dick.
Yeah, I don't go there. How am I going to beat the Coke looking at that?
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
I don't understand why you can't look at a chick.
I am looking at chicks. What are you talking about?
But you said sometimes that you have to get weird.
Yeah, but I mean weird with chicks.
Oh, okay.
You know, like,
yeah, I mean, it's okay.
You know, like Asian street meat? You know what I mean?
What's that?
Or Tuck Tuck Patrol. You guys know what these are?
What's the Tuck Tuck Patrol?
Okay,
like,
I'm just
like
listen.
Like the cab?
The little cab, the little Tuck Tuck cab, and they go out and they find little Filipino whores.
Are they called
and they
tuk-tuks?
Bring, or Tuk Tuk? I don't know.
Wait, how do you know?
I read it in American, okay? I haven't been there like you, CB.
I haven't been there.
Of course, they call it. They actually say "tuk tuk" in the native tongue, and then if you want to actually communicate in the Philippine language, you look at them, you just go.
No, because when I heard you say it, I thought you meant tuck tuck, like tuck the dick back.
Mm.
Yeah, you did.
All right. Listen.
How long did it take you to think of that one?
That one just now. Yeah, right. My opinion, which comes with a little bit of fact behind it.
Go on.
Tyron said he's fighting Conor.
Really?
He apologized to Wonderboy and said he's fighting Conor next. Mm-hmm. And Eddie Alvarez says that Conor should fight Tyron and go for a third belt. And I'm thinking in Eddie's perspective, if Conor beats Tyron, then he don't have to feel so bad.
I would rather see, if he's going to go to 170, I would rather see Conor fight Tyron rather than Nate Diaz again. Because I'm kind of, the Diaz thing happened twice. I thought, you know, Conor showed that he's, you know, the better skilled striker. And then, like, it's like, Diaz is always fun, and he always brings the fun trash talk and everything and good fights. But it's like, do you fight a guy that you've already beaten and that's not the champ, or do you fight the champion in the division?
Well, if he gives him a title.
And not only not the champ, but not very active as a fighter.
Because
they just don't fight that often. They aren't that active in the UFC world.
Think about the Diaz brothers, and I'm a big fan of both of them.
Right.
But one of the things that just makes them so good is their stubbornness, which is also one of the things that actually...
Because it's genuine. It's like, yeah.
But that also sometimes gets in their way of not adapting to the other fighter in front of their game plan. They'll just like, fuck it. I'm just going to go forward, take as many punches as possible, and see who falls first.
Yeah.
And it seemed like Conor was able to adjust to Diaz's game plan in the second fight, whereas Diaz did the same thing he did in the first fight.
100%. After watching the first fight, like everybody was saying Nate Diaz is going to take it again. And like I said, I'm a fan of Diaz as well. But after watching the first fight, I was like, dude, Conor had his number. He not to quote Conor, but he was saying like he gassed out and all that stuff. But he did. I mean, he had his number. He was just hitting him with every shot that he wanted. And then he got a little careless. It sort of looked like he was sparring. He didn't really care. He gassed out, got hurt, and so on and so on. But the second time, he made those necessary adjustments. And yeah, man, he took it to him.
And that's what, I would like to see Woodley versus Conor. I would assume that Woodley would win. But you can never count out Conor. No. And Conor's a very dangerous striker. Kicks are harder than punches, correct? You've been there when you get a hit with them. One of his like crazy spinning back kicks, could it land on Tyron and hurt him?
Mm-hmm.
Sure. Could Tyron hurt? Could he hurt Tyron? Yes. Do I think Tyron will win? Yeah, I do. Yeah.
Who do you think won, Tyron or Steven, in the fight, the draw?
I thought it was a draw. I gave Tyron the first and the fourth, and the fourth, was a 10-8. Barely.
Oh, so you had, yeah.
But, I mean, it wasn't like, I've seen fights that he didn't, where that guy wouldn't have got a 10-8 with that. But that was what I thought would have been a 10-8. I thought Tyron made a mistake by not keeping it standing, and he going for that guillotine.
That guillotine, yeah.
Which, I mean, I don't know how he survived it, Wonder Boy.
Yeah.
It was weird.
Yeah, it was weird because I mean, you look at his arms, and they were full.
There was no.
He was engaged.
No room, man.
No, and you're watching. You're like, and I'm at home screaming. I'm like Rocky's wife in the first one. Like, stop the fight! Like, I was totally because I was like, he's out. He must be out. And somehow he was still breathing. And
so
you got to give it to the ref.
I was yelling
for
black,
not
black.
Stopping it because I was like, he's got to be out.
I was at
he
the bar yelling,
out.
"Black Lives Matter!" And then my friend, like my girl. I'm like, no, I was so happy for him. I was so happy for Tyron. I'm a big Tyron Woodley fan.
All right, okay, see, I was going for Steven just because technically I thought he was going to take the fight, and then I hung out with Steven a couple times. He's a nice guy. Well, you know how it is. When you know somebody, you kind of root for them more. So yeah. I was going for Steven, but I got to say, man, I thought Tyron not scoring it round for round. I was there live just watching the fight unfold. I thought Tyron won. And then the other thing I was surprised by was, man, like, people really don't like Tyron. I don't understand how he became
him.
A heel so quickly. Like, they were booing his ass off the entire time.
That's
every time
weird.
Steven would do something, they would cheer. Every time Tyron would do something, they would boo. And then at the end, they booed him when he was speaking. I really felt kind of bad for Tyron.
All I can say to that is, thanks, Trump.
Well, no, I didn't say it on the last show. I was
Steven,
like,
white boy Thompson, yay! Black Tyron, boo!
No, like I said it on the last show, like, he's not a heel. He's a really good guy. He's a genuine guy, nice guy. But he plays the role because I guess they've put him into this role. He plays it really well, but that's not who he is.
No, he's a well-spoken guy. You know, he did an interview recently saying that like he feels that the UFC should have given him this push because he's a well-spoken guy. He's in the movies. He's a fight analyst on Fox. He's the champion. Why are they not pushing him as much as he should? And I get it, though, because I said this on Karen Bryant's podcast, but I haven't achieved the level of success that Tyron has this far in my career, But I get it, man. Like, I did the Versace campaign. I'm in the UFC. I'm on a win streak. All these different things. And they don't... Dude, I can't even get the UFC to retweet something. Like, I did the Versace campaign. They wouldn't even, like, retweet that. But then, like, one of their favorites, like, does a backflip. And it's all over fucking social media. You know? Like, yeah. it bothers me how they pick who they want. And I understand Tyrone's frustration. I mean, he's doing all these great things. And he's not really getting the love.
It is weird. I mean, the guy's got, like, six kids. And he's a great father.
Yeah.
And he's a loyal husband, he's a nice guy, and I think he also, like, I wouldn't do this, but he responds to people on social media, mm-hmm. and then they jump on him. And
this is what we talk about when you respond, man. You open that door, and it's like your strongest weapon is silence. Just let them not know if you ever saw it or not.
Yeah, that, because I know, and I think that people thought he was ducking Wonder Boy, even though he wasn't. They think some of his fights are boring, but it's weird. I mean, to me, it doesn't make sense. Same thing why they would boo Daniel Cormier and cheer Jon Jones. I was there when that happened, and I could not understand. You're booing a guy who was a two-time Olympian, who's been through some...
A nice, funny guy.
Nice
yeah.
guy, personal tragedy, great father, great husband, great guy, fights everybody, beats people at heavyweight, then goes down at 205. I mean, beats all kinds of people, fights everybody. And you're booing him.
Yeah.
But you're cheering a guy who's got caught with cocaine, hit a pregnant woman, and ran away.
This thing, one after
well,
the other.
Well, thanks, Obama.
Steroids. Maybe it wasn't. Maybe it was dick pills. A guy, just the list goes on. Yeah. But that's the guy we cheer.
Was the hardest thing for DC to accept. He's like, why are they booing me? You know, like you just said, man, he's got all these lists of good accolades, and Jon Jones is doing all the wrong things. But I think, you know, people are confused, and then people, they like superstars. You know, they like the flash.
And cocaine.
Yeah. Weird shit. But they like that. They want the superstars. They want the people like that.
And there were other people, like Misha Tate never got her just due, I thought, as well. Yeah. There was a girl who...
Were you surprised by that? Or did you know that was coming? The retirement?
What, retirement? Man, I was surprised.
Well, after watching the video of her saying to Brian Caraway, I don't have it anymore.
Yeah.
I mean, during the fight.
When was that?
This was...
And that same
thing. Oh, is that like the pre-package video?
No, it's
like, called The Thrill and the... If you look up UFC 205, The Thrill and the Agony, it shows the Khabib thing, it shows the Misha thing. She says it in the corner, and then she also says it, I think when they were about to raise Raquel's hand, she's like, I just don't have it anymore, I don't want this enough. Damn. And there was the Conor thing in there. And
she said that afterwards when they were interviewing. She was like, I knew what I had to do, and I just couldn't do it.
But I
didn't have it in me anymore. She said it right there.
I just felt kind of bad for Brian Caraway, because I'm putting myself in his shoes where... Your girlfriend.
I was about to say, he's losing his breadwinner?
No, but
I'm looking at Brad Garrett like, she was my meal ticket. What are you doing, babe?
Well, that too. No, but because you're, as a wrestling coach, like, I know sometimes you have to inspire kids, you know? Mm. You have to, like, you got kids saying, I don't want to do, no, you have to fucking, come on, man. Come on, cut your head up. Keep going. Don't quit on me, whatever it is. But now with this, you're in a fight in Madison Square Garden, and this girl was the champ two fights ago, and you have to tell this person who's quitting on you in the fight, saying, I don't have it. You now have to, like, it's got to be hard as a coach.
Yeah.
And then you go, that's her boyfriend. So now you're, as a boy, now you're wearing two hats.
Yeah.
Of, like, you're not only telling this person to not...
Did I give her too much dick? Did I give her not enough dick?
Let her put the strap on deeper?
Exactly. I would like CB Gold delivering the gold right there.
I just think it's...
Caraway, look up CB Gold for that one.
He
that
follows
was
me.
I just think it's a
he
very...
He won't anymore.
I think it's a very unique situation, though. Like, I mean, for that to be in, for him to be in that situation of having to convince your fighter / girlfriend to not quit on themselves.
Because I don't know if you've ever tried training your girlfriend or whatever, but, like, they don't listen. Like, if you have a personal connection with
you mean like any other time in any other relationship. Okay. Just wait, so it's consistent is what you're telling
us. I cannot, like, motivate my wife, but if she goes to Muay Thai class and a coach yells at her, she'll do it. And it's, you know, like you said, in that situation where she's, like, lost all hope, and you're her boyfriend, and you're seeing that emotion, you know it's genuine, you know, like, damn, she's lost it, but you're trying to be the coach. The coach inside of you is trying to flip that switch in her, yeah.
And according to Kevin Lee, they were having issues.
I didn't want to say it.
So not only that, like,
What do you mean, like
relationship issues? Like, because I was like, what's going on?
Well, it all comes full circle, doesn't it? So all of a sudden, she's like, you know what, Brian? I just don't have it anymore. And he's like, God damn it, we've been talking about this for 3 fucking weeks.
So, I mean, it just the whole
thing. That's too bad. You know, it was funny because we had her on the podcast, yeah. And then you were talking about how she has the greatest ass in MMA. Mm. And so, of course, I'm focusing on that during the fight. And I'm like, this is a, I hope we don't lose this ass. It's a great ass. No. She wears the shorts that I like, the ones that I think all the girls should wear. And then she announced her retirement. I was like, we just lost the best ass in MMA. That's what happened.
There are a couple girls that have great ass.
That's true.
That was one of those fights, though, that you were kind of. You lost focus of the fight, and you were focusing on the body parts again.
Yeah. Did you guys see the 69? Oh, yeah.
Fight,
there
man.
Was one when she got in there deep with her face. What's her name?
Raquel
got in there real good. And I feel like she paused for a moment and just kind of dragged her face down out of it.
She's a lesbian.
Hey, listen.
I don't think any of us picked Raquel.
What?
I don't think any of us picked Raquel. I don't think most people were like, yeah. Raquel's going to pull it off.
I forgot that Misha was her coach during the... I'm looking at a picture of it right now.
Really,
he's
dude?
Sniffing it.
Really, thanks, Greg.
I think I tweeted it.
Awesome.
Yeah, it was.
Hey,
such
if
an
you
odd
didn't
fight,
see it,
man.
He didn't tag you, so you're all right.
I'll tweet it right now just to make sure it's out there.
It was a very odd fight, and you know what? It seemed like Misha's striking has not evolved to where it should be.
I thought the same thing, bro. She used to be kind of like the known as the most well-rounded girl out there. She could strike. She had that wrestling base. I thought her striking didn't look good. And as soon as she started losing the striking, she looked desperate in her takedowns. Her takedown didn't look strong and powerful. And as soon as she couldn't land the takedowns, then it was just like a weird... The ground and pound game was real odd, man. It's like almost like they had a respect for one another, or I don't know what was going on.
I kind of like it how in the third she pulled guard, because I thought that was at least that's, to me, you're going for broke in that situation.
It is. That's the Hail Mary, yeah.
Which I respected that, because a lot of times fighters, like, they're losing and they kind of just, okay, I lose, but, you know, I got through the fight, you know. And she went and she pulled guard, which is very dangerous. Against a cage, probably not the best place to pull guard. Yeah. But I don't know. I think that her striking did not look crisp. It was weird. The whole thing was weird because... Like, if you look at, you know, Misha Tate's career of being the champ, losing to Ronda twice, and then beating the girl that beat Ronda, beating Holly on top of the world.
Where's Holly?
I still think that, like, in a way, like you were saying, I think after she thought she beat Holly, she would be the next poster girl for the UFC, mm-hmm. and she wasn't. Granted, she didn't defend her title one time, but I think she thought, okay, that's it, you know?
Yeah,
Like when I was thought I when I did Leno the first time,
right?
Or last comic standing, I'm like, yeah. I am never going to have to work about getting booked again,
right? They're all going to be coming to me.
I'm just going to field. I'm just going to be like, day. And then when that doesn't happen, to the point where you want it, you go, fuck, man. Now what do I got to do?
Yeah. Can I tell you something? Every comic thinks that that's what's going to happen after their first TV appearance.
Yeah.
Not just Leno. You know, it could be some cable show. It could be laughs. It could be... You really think that once you get on there, then it's like, well, the orders are going to come in, flowing in now. And then you're like, and okay.
Kevin Hart, move over.
Yeah, yeah. Like, anybody see this? 22 likes. Okay.
And I think
3 retweets. All right.
Let me just post a set again.
Yeah.
So and they get the same person liking it.
Yeah, totally.
So, and I think that Misha thought after she went, I think Misha thought after she wins that title, it was going to be like she was in the
Roses.
Next phase of the UFC.
Yeah.
And she wasn't. And she should have. But women's MMA is another story. Then she loses her first defense. Not only loses, but gets fucking slaughtered by Amanda Nunes.
Yeah. It caused her to have one foot out the door after that. Yeah, I agree, man. Yeah.
And I think that she kind of, like, when she's like, I don't have it, it's like her spirit has been broken a little bit. And I think they could be doing better with Nunes. I mean, I know, Alan, you're absolutely right as far as they could be marketing a bunch of guys. You, Elias, a lot of guys that I think that they should get behind. The guys who have, you know, have great records and... But Nunes is the fucking champion of the world.
Yeah.
And the first gay champion, which there's a huge gay population in sports in the U.S. I mean, what do they say? Like 5% of the U.S.? Some kind of...
Why are you looking at me for this statistic?
You know.
How many of them are there, Greg? You said you fucked a tranny.
Yeah, you watch. I guess I have to wait till you're coked up to answer the question.
Exactly. Then I'll make up a fact. I'd be like, you know, I think most people are actually a little bit gay. So really 100% of people are 100% gay.
But I think that they could be doing better as far as marketing Nunez. I mean, I was looking at like Nunez has like 40,000 followers on Twitter. Right.
On that tip, you know, one time I was at a party. This is a true story. I'm at a party, right? And I say to this girl, hey, do you want to do some blow? And she's like, yeah. And she goes, can I bring my friend? Yeah. So the next thing I know is me and these three girls and we go into a closet. To do some blow.
You for some in closet?
Go in a closet. That's right. It was a larger walk-in coat closet. All right. We sit down. We start doing blow. Next thing I know, we're like, hey, it's awfully quiet out there. We open the door. The party's over. Right. We missed the whole fucking party in the closet doing blow.
What does this have to do with Manny Nunez?
Sorry. Yeah, back to what you were saying.
It was better than Tyler Bogue getting locked in a bathroom and then the club closed.
There you go. And then I won the 8th grade New England championship. So
whatever, dude. That was a good championship. It wasn't 8th grade. I won it as a freshman
okay.
and as a junior.
Okay? All right.
I didn't do it as a senior because I went to the Nationals instead. All right.
Okay.
Fuckhead. Okay. All right, so,
I thought that meant state and national. Whatever.
Anyway, but I'm saying that I think they should be marketing Nunez better. Because if you ask people who's the UFC women's champion, they're going to say Ronda Rousey. Most yeah, people right. most
yeah.
people on
yeah,
the street.
Yeah, the casual person, yes.
They're going to say Ronda Rousey or Holly Holm.
Yeah.
They're not, Nunez is not going to be in the even discussion.
So this might be a generic question, but who's the biggest star then? Ronda Rousey or McGregor?
Conor's a way bigger star than Ronda.
That's what I
oh
think,
my
man.
God,
that's
yes.
So,
Conor's I mean, gate succeed, anybody's gate.
I think you walk up on the street and show both pictures, more people would recognize Ronda, but I don't necessarily equate that to being the bigger star. I think just she's in the movie, she's more you know, seen by other people, but Conor brings in the more seats, he's
the
becoming
gates,
a bigger
the view,
superstar.
The pay-per-view views, yeah. The people are watching pressers, they're
McGregor's
watching all this
star,
shit.
But who's a bigger star among American women and soccer moms? Probably Ronda Rousey.
I think as weird as it contrasting as it sounds, I think more people recognize Ronda. Just, but I think it's just because of the movies, man. But I,
yeah.
To
oh,
me,
you see her storm off the stage at MSG.
Yeah,
yeah
and
but
Dana
you know
tried
what?
To defend the shit out of it.
Yeah,
come on.
No, but I heard the same thing, man, from people at like Fox and everything that nobody was supposed to even be interviewed, and then like when all of a sudden Joe Rogan started interviewing her,
and that made Ronda look even shittier. Like yeah. that's they were just like, well, we got Nunes, let's get oh she left.
I love how she went into that bitch walk right away. Like,
oh,
you know,
right
she had
away.
That bitch walk where she's just
yeah. But did
time.
You see the video of her going through the doors of LAX? Before she got on the plane,
no, was she
because
bitch
walking she walked.
In?
She tried to
same
walk.
Bitch walk.
She had the bitch walk with her and. And
I was gonna
and,
say, I think that's just how she walked.
No,
bro.
She had the bitch walk with her and Travis walking in from the LAX from the curbside into the airport. But the automatic sensor didn't notice her, so she walked right into the door and it didn't open. Yeah, she walked right into the center of the door. And
of
then
course,
it, like, slid
of course.
Open, and she just kept going.
Like, we're not opening this for this bitch.
But she also showed up to.
You know what the thing is though? She does the bitch walk up into a. Diva stance.
Yeah, yeah, you're right.
She
you're
only
right.
stands one way and is to the side in this transition. Weird kind of diva, like, boom.
But she did the same yeah. thing at Travis's last fight. I think it wasn't 200. It was the other one. I think it was the one where he fought. Did he fight Kane at 200?
Yeah.
Yeah, where he got...
Then it was the one before that. She was going... I think it was for 203. She went to 203 and... My friends who were there said they people tried to talk to her, people tried to interview her. She wasn't having any of it, not talking to anybody, not doing any media, nothing. So I think this is just a changed Ronda.
I don't know. So where were you during UFC 203, CB?
I was directly under the toilet seat in Ronda's dressing room.
Really? And what
That's
was
right.
Ronda like?
She didn't have a dressing room.
She had a waiting room. They had a special
had a waiting
room.
Either.
She had a waiting room, and they had a private
if
bathroom.
If you're
going
to do this, you need to consult then, with me before the episode
wait,
so we
what
can
did her ass smell like?
Clarify.
Her ass smelled,
Travis Brown.
Smelled like Matt. Like okay. gym mat
yes.
and cocoa butter.
Why is everybody cocoa butter?
You know why? Because cocoa butter is delicious.
Now, all right. Roy Nelson got suspended for 9 months for kicking.
And $25,000.
Big John McCarthy. And you know what? I think he got off easy.
He got off way easy.
I think you can't kick the ref in the ass.
You can't kick the ref in the ass. That's true. They actually, it's on the rules on the wall.
Opinion.
There's a couple of things that like, you know, you can't pee on the floor
yep.
and you can't kick the ref in the ass. So two of the things.
But
I
saw
there.
Somewhere that, I thought I read somewhere that if he apologizes, then they bring it down to 6 months and like 10 grand or something like that.
I mean, to me,
you know he's going to be like, sorry, I'm not sorry.
I don't understand. Like, to me, if he would have lost, he would have got cut, I think. Mm. But they didn't want to cut him after a win.
Dana's been looking to cut him for years.
Yeah, Dana's not a big fan of Roy Nelson. But, I mean,
They have no heavyweights.
No, well, but right.
Derek Lewis.
See what I mean?
But I mean, Roy Nelson's record is what, 2-6 in his last 8 fights or something. What
it's not. It's subpar. I only remember when he got knocked the fuck out by Mark Hunt. That was like one of my favorite things.
I like, look, Roy Nelson, you know.
He can be entertaining, but lately he's boring.
But you can't kick the fucking big John McCarthy. It's just not. I understand that, you know, he kind of did it for the right reasons of, like, he was upset that he didn't stop
the fight
earlier,
sooner, yeah.
But you just can't put your hands or feet on the ref.
Yeah.
Or your dick or anything else. You can't do it.
Can't do it in the NFL either.
And Machida got suspended 18 months.
For what?
Which Machida?
Lyoto. For what? His failure. When his Dan Henderson fight. I forgot what card that was.
Yeah, what happened with Kelvin, by the way?
Kelvin?
Yeah, like, how far overweight was he?
10 pounds.
All I saw...
he didn't even weigh in.
Yeah. All I saw were the memes. I forgot what I was doing. I was doing something, but I see the memes start popping up in my Twitter feed. I'm like, what the fuck happened? And then I read that the fight's off, and he's not, you know, and everything, and Cerrone's on the side with in his full fucking cowboy gear and shit. And I'm like, what the fuck happened to this guy? Because we had him on the show a couple weeks ago.
I spoke to him.
And it sounded like he was pretty focused.
Yeah,
and
was he at Burger King?
What did you say, man? I'm curious.
You know, I called him up, and, you know, as a friend of people, I like to talk to people when they're doing really well or when they're really down on the fucking dumps. You know, someone like, you know, when someone gets knocked the fuck out or loses, I feel like a lot of people, they just say, you know what, fuck this guy, I'm on to the next winner. You know, and I that's what I try to, like, hey man, I'm always
Bubba, you want to get some food?
Yeah.
So, Bubba, you want some crackers?
Like when Bubba got knocked out, I fucking
want to go for some.
Hey man, we're gonna get some food.
Want to go for some wings?
I texted him like 5 minutes after he got knocked out.
Maybe some nachos. You want some mozzarella sticks?
So I don't know. I try to, you know,
tea and crumpets. That's what Bubba kept saying. So, he's buying me for tea and crumpets after my fight.
What am I supposed to do? Just say fucking. So Kelvin, I spoke to him and he was very, very appreciative that I called him.
Yeah.
He said I meant, you know, more than anything. You know, a lot of people, because I was also writing jokes about him, so I felt kind of bad.
Yeah.
You're like, I got to cover my bases on this one.
Well, they were funny jokes. Okay. Like, I said that he was going to fight at 205, but that was the weight limit. You know?
No, they were funny. I'm just saying. Like,
so I called him, and he said, listen, man, I fucked up. You know, I'm sorry, and I really appreciate you calling. And, you know, he had family and friends there, and that's kind of, you know, it was just. He sounded
that
like
sucks if all your family and friends flew to New York.
Yeah.
You know, this is, again, like we were saying, it's not a cheap trip, not a cheap city.
No.
And then you have to be the one to tell them,
no. Yeah.
Where are you guys in tomorrow? I'm joining you.
Yeah, exactly. Well, so you guys want to go see a movie while we're in
town? Well, it sucks, number one. Like, I was going to ask him if he wants to watch. I swear to God, I almost was like, hey, man, I'm watching the fight at my friend's place. Want to come? But I'm like, honestly.
What a great tweet that would have been, you with Kelvin Gastelum. Like, hey,
yeah,
we're,
like,
12 we're both supposed to be at the fights right now.
I swear to God, people would have been so pissed. Hey, hanging with Kelvin, watching the
You're
fight.
You're like, shit, Kelvin.
You should have been at a strip club with an ass in your face. The fight's on in the background, just like, we're still at 205.
So I was gonna ask him where he's watching the fights, but I didn't have that. I was really wanted to know where he's watching the fight. I figured, is he going? You know,
was it all him though?
What
or was it all him?
He's blaming the nutritionist, but look.
He has a nutritionist.
I heard, yeah, it's Emeril. But no.
Guy Fieri.
It's Ronald McDonald.
But from what I heard on the underground, there was a thread saying he was blaming Lockhart, saying he did everything Lockhart said and was still 10 pounds over. I don't know.
But he also has a scale.
It's up to him.
He said he was 10.
Yeah, I mean, a week out, you got to know where you got to be and where you're supposed to be. I mean, you got to ramp it up.
I think it's unfortunate for him that. He's like too big for 170, but too small for 85.
Wait, did he do the private weigh-ins?
There really should be a 175-pound weight class. Go 55, 65, 75, 85,
but
then maybe 205.
But then you have so many weight classes. You're going to have so many guys trying to fight in three weight classes.
Too many belts.
There'd be a lot of shit
going on. Did he do the morning private weigh-in? And that's where they determined it?
Yeah, it was in the morning.
Okay, no, so he didn't...
Which way? Which one of the Wayans brothers is that?
He couldn't fit the door. And, what was that?
Dude, I love the ones where people put his face over Ben Stiller at the end of Dodgeball when he's all fat. I'm like, damn, oh my God. Dude, you guys are fucked up.
I know, that's what I'm saying. Like, that's what I realized. I saw all these memes, and I'm like...
When I saw you Friday, you're like, I didn't even know he missed weight. I just saw all these memes and was like, wait, what's going on?
Yeah.
We have, like, now it's at 8 a.m. to 10 a.m. or something like that. We have, like, a two-hour window in the morning where we weigh in, and then it's a mock-up at 4, obviously. But what I heard is he didn't even show up, but like 8:30 he called the UFC and just said, and I'm not talking bad about it, I'm just saying this is what literally happened. I heard that he just called and said, look, I'm not even close to weight, I'm not coming. So I was thinking that he must have been way over.
Wow.
He was too embarrassed.
Guy, man, what a bummer.
And then weigh in again and make weight by the afternoon?
No, see, I think that's it. That's why I couldn't get the fight, because when I kind of like, remember I called out Cowboy after, I said, I'll take the fight, I'll come in and jump in and do it. By that time, 10 o'clock had already expired. It was like 10:30 by the time they got back to me. And they said the commission's not allowing it. I was hoping I could make weight before 4 o'clock and still be eligible, but there was too much shit going on.
Here's another question. If you weigh in between 8 and 10, and I know 10's like the cutoff, and you're like a pound or 2 pounds over, do you get that two-hour window, or have they eliminated that?
It's so funny. Like,
it seems like they've eliminated it from the private morning weigh-ins.
I'm wondering, I didn't get. Because some people just go to the second weigh-in. They don't go to the early weigh-in.
No, right? You have to.
You have to do early weigh-in now.
Now that it's an actual sport, you have to play by the rules.
I think if the cutoff was 10 a.m., 8 to 10, and you got there at 9:50 and you were a pound over, they would have to give you that one-hour allowance, because it's the same thing with the normal weigh-in at 4 o'clock.
Yeah.
If you didn't make it at 4 o'clock, you still have an hour.
But I feel like I've heard, because I know like Thiago Alves was 6.5 over.
Right, right.
And then Jim Miller had to put on 2 pounds just to make sure they could fight. Because
that was only a New York show.
No, I know. But for that fight, Jim Miller's like, I don't want the fight off. Fuck it. I'll just go eat. Right. A steak or something.
That's the new rules, though. The new rules, whatever the weight class is like a limit. There's like, and so that's probably why they were saying that that Gastelum was 10 pounds over, because if for 170, if you're more than 10 pounds over, there's no fight happening.
It's funny. You see Cody McKenzie fought Joe Riggs about like a week ago.
Oh, my God.
And the weigh-in, he wore jeans. Like, weighed in with jeans?
Yeah, but he looked like...
Huge belly.
I was
going to
say he had a beard, but he looked like he was like 60.
And Joe Riggs came in like, fucking ripped. I guess Joe Riggs won the fight. But you never know with Cody. He's great at that guillotine.
You know what I found the second most interesting statement of that whole thing in 205? Number one, obviously, the Conor thing. I apologize to absolutely no one. But at the beginning, when Joe Rogan, which I don't know if you guys watched the replay, so you can see this, but Joe Rogan is like, we're finally in New York, despite all the red tape, despite all the corruption.
Yeah.
And he says corruption, like that's what's been keeping the UFC out of New York.
It was, because of Sheldon Silver.
Which is fine.
Wasn't it the
Except
culinary
that
union
you too? Still have to try and get out of New York. Okay?
Well, the guys in jail.
And they don't like, I know, do you think he was a one-man band? Do you think corruption ends with that motherfucker? Okay? Listen, that was one of those statements where I was like, ooh, they got all night to find this motherfucker. I would get an escort to the
airport.
There's
more than one mafia member
at that fight. I know. That's all I kept thinking.
Madonna will not protect him.
That's what I'm thinking. Like, there's lots of mafia at that fight. And mafia ain't fake. Okay? That's a real thing, man. And you don't want them mad at you. And he's sitting there going, yeah, and all the corruption. I'm like, dude, you don't say that.
It's funny that you say that, though, because...
Hello, Brett. Oh, fuck.
It was funny you say that, because the other day we had Kevin Leon.
Are you seeing ghosts?
No, I was trying.
Hello, Brett. Why are you here?
I was trying.
Let me alone.
No, Brett Johns is fighting.
The Chris.
Brett Johns.
He's fighting one whole cock.
Brett, the sport of Chris.
Wait, but Greg.
No, I've been trying to get Brett Johns in the podcast. He's fighting one whole cock. And I thought that one whole cock. No,
one whole cock is fighting him.
Okay, one whole cock is fighting. Now, what do you plan on doing tomorrow, Saturday, against Brett Johns?
It will be a fight of the dove. I will move with the grace over his head and take a bigger shit right on his fight game.
You're going to shit on Brett Johns?
Yes, it is the style of the dove. Did you not hear me the first time?
Oh, sorry. You sounded like the guy at the bank who wanted to fight me. So, all right, now let's talk about Invicta tomorrow night. Tanya Evinger is defending her belt against Yana...
Now, is this her first title defense since she's been on the show?
It's like her sixth.
Oh, no, since she was on the show last.
No, she fought Colleen. Yes.
No, she's had her...
Since she was on the show last, yes.
No, she's had a couple belts before that. I remember she had her belt...
No,
like in her...
the last time she was on the show, we had her in studio with Hanato.
Studio,
that's what he's asking.
Studio,
yes.
Yeah.
Okay, so it is.
She's fighting Yana Kunitskaya.
Exactly. I think that's one Hulk's sister.
Jan Kunikskaya, I am fighter woman for you.
She's not Russian.
Sounds Russian.
Is she
Asian?
CB, anything you know about this girl, Yana?
I'm pretty sure she's going to get destroyed.
Okay. she's a Russian newcomer.
So she is Russian.
She's 26 years old.
CB.
Stop 7 of her 9 wins by strike.
She is Russian.
She is Russian? I thought she was Asian.
No.
Wait.
There goes CB's golden rankings.
135.
35.
All right. So also Angela Hill is fighting.
Yeah, she's back.
She's fighting Kayleen Medeiros.
Colleen
Medeiros. Angela's defending her belt. What do we know about it? Colleen's pretty good, right?
Colleen's tough. She's had 2 fights in Invicta prior. We were, I think, at both of them. Yeah, she won. She's a tough girl. Good ground and pound. This time she has purple. Before she had, I think, yellow to promote, I think, the LGBTQ community, that whole thing going on.
That sounds like it was effective.
But she's a Brazilian chick. She's tough. Good ground and pound. Really good stand-up. And
solved all those problems. I think
what her yellow hair did.
Yeah, that's right. That's all you got to do. And now, let freedom ring.
I think this is going to be a really good.
Even Trump was like, I didn't support LGBTQ rights until she saw her dyed hair. And then I'm like, you know what? Let them eat each other. I love it.
I think this is going to be a tough test for Angela Hill, but it's a great fight. It's a really good fight for 115.
I think Angela's different level. I think moving to San Diego, it's funny when you get these people who go from like these small camps with like limited sparring partners to like all of a sudden they go to Alliance, they get so much better. Whereas sometimes guys they don't get that much better because they're always around good people. It's just the learning curve. But
Medeiros also trains with ATT, Amanda Nunes, Nina Ansaroff, and she's aligned with Sitya Tong Boston, which is Mark Deligrotti's gym.
She's what, Boston?
Aligned with Sitya Tong Boston, which is Mark Deligrotti's gym.
Sitya Tong. Sitya Tong of Boston. The world leader in the chicken feet.
Is that One Whole Cock? Are you a fan?
Yes, the One Whole Cock beginner Sitya Tong.
Yeah?
Yes, that's the way I learned the dove technique.
Now, One Whole,
I think it's Thai, not Chinese, but okay.
Don't worry, American don't know difference.
Isn't your wife is Thai, right?
Yeah.
100% Thai?
Yep.
Wow. 100%. Right.
Yep.
Now, does her family come to your fights?
No, they all live in Thailand.
Now, do they must all love you. Right?
Her family shows up in a huge school bus with chickens and shit. Quack, 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 quack. Like, we're here for a fight. Our son-in-law let us in. You let her. Quack, 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 quack. Woo, woo, woo. Like a dog.
Do they watch your fights, though?
Yeah, I mean, they're aware, you know what I mean? They don't watch that much UFC in Thailand. They all know what to do.
Why do they have chickens?
Are they grilling them at the event?
They're just live chickens.
What's her house? Is it a big house? Is it a nice house? Is it
a thatched roof?
Man, no, dude. Thailand's
beautiful, though, isn't it?
It's beautiful, but you're washing your ass with there's a bucket full of water with a small bucket, and you take that and you splash it on your ass, and like you're shitting in fucking holes in the ground. I mean, it's a third world country, you know what I mean? It makes you appreciate where you come from.
Now, you trained over there, right?
Yeah, I've been there like 3 or 4 times.
What was the training like?
Is that where you met her? Did you meet her over there?
No, we met over here. Just when we go back to see her family, I'd go over there and train. Training's awesome, man. I usually go to Fairtex Bang Pli and train at Fairtex, but the last time I went to check out Tiger Muay Thai for the first time. I've always seen all this hype about Tiger.
Right.
They've got all the videos.
The videos on YouTube are pretty extreme.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So I went check it out. It's a nice place, man. I didn't get a feel for it. I wasn't there long enough to feel out if it's like really like a good place to go if you're a real fighter, or if it's kind of just like they're bringing with the videos on YouTube, they're just trying to like bring in tourists that want to, say they did Muay Thai. But as far as facility wise, I would go back, man, because you want to be, like I said, man, there's a lot of poor conditions in Thailand. So if you want to go someplace nice, Tiger Muay Thai has.
It was Phil Baroni there, when you were there?
Gym. Did you guys just see his abs?
I saw Phil Baroni, bro. No, I was riding down the street on a scooter. What? Phil Baroni walks by. He was he was down the street at American Top Team. I mean, Phuket Top Team.
Did you guys hang out?
He looks huge. No, I was riding by on a scooter, and Nicole.
Especially in Thailand.
Yeah, Nicole was on the back, and we went by him, and he went get like some food. He was eating, walking down the street, like on this little like. I mean, like, it looks like the end of the earth kind of room.
Wasn't
like,
a strip club?
And I told Nicole, I was like, that was Phil Baroni. She's like, who? I was like, never mind. We just kept going. But I was like, what the fuck, dude? I just passed Phil
Maroney. He just got back to New York yesterday or today. And he was like, it feels good to be
back. For a long time,
he wanted to get the 205 fight. He was calling Dana. He was tweeting Dana like, I want on the 205 card. I'm the New York badass.
He looked like he had been living in Thailand for like a year.
Me and him went to this like nude pool in Vegas. Yeah. Where, like, you can go girls can go topless. He's not the guy you want to be hanging out with. People looked at me like I was his dealer. He was so fucking jacked.
Yeah, he's all jacked
people
up.
People were looking at him like, he's a fucking monkey. You know, like, who is this gorilla guy? I'm like, dude, it's not the guy you want to fuck with.
No.
Like,
no. Yeah. You get him on a mildly bad day and he'll rip your head off. Yeah.
And then we spent 7 hours looking for his car. He couldn't find it.
Because he didn't realize he'd sold it. Yeah. Like 2 hours earlier.
We ran into Cyborg and Ray Elby. It was so funny.
Oh, dude. My God.
Yeah. Anyway.
Did you see his abs when I know. We're sitting here. He raised his shirt to, like, I don't know if you're wiping your nose, your mouth, or whatever.
What did I do?
And you could see his abs for a second. Yeah. No homo, but God damn, I want to lick your abs.
You would lick his abs?
Holy shit. Oh, nah, not really. But I mean, they were fucking amazing.
I know,
show your abs again. Look at these abs.
I don't want to see it.
Come on. Dude, look at that. That's an embarrassment to the rest of us. Shit, Jesus Christ.
You're missing out, viewers.
Wow.
There's a lot of good fights on this Invicta card, though.
Yes. Amber Brown, we have her on the podcast.
I would do coke off his abs.
Amber Brown and Ashley Yoder.
Yeah, who's Ashley Yoder?
Ashley Yoder was on the last season of Tough when Claudia Joanna. She's out of Team Quest, Dan Henderson's gym. Dan Henderson's gym out of Temecula now. Tough chick, but Amber Brown, she's scrappy.
Yeah, we've had her on the podcast before.
I don't know which weight this is at, though. Is this
115.
It is at 115. So Amber Brown's going up 10.
But the other girl missed weight. She came in at like 117 or something.
Oh, okay. Well, but Amber Brown's normally a 105-er.
Yeah.
So.
All right. So tomorrow, Bellator, right? Saturday, Bellator. We're going to do a quick rundown.
Yeah, what the fuck
rundown.
Is three events in one day, man?
So, yeah, tomorrow, there's literally
I have a busy weekend.
Oh, but it was so funny. So he goes.
Hold up. I fucked myself.
And then two UFCs on
so
Saturday,
so we're sitting
right?
there, right?
And
before you guys came in, CB are sitting there. And CB's like, dude, this freaking Invicta tomorrow. And then there's two UFC events on Saturday, one Bellator event, boxing, and then SummerSlam on
Survivor
Sunday.
Series.
Or a Survivor Series on Sunday. Man, I have a busy weekend.
My grandfather came to this country with two
you
peanuts.
You should have let me finish before you started this.
Sorry, go ahead. Yeah.
Because after this, I'm taking a 5-hour drive to Mammoth to my mountain house. So I'm
going to
do jack shit over there.
Oh, damn.
No, I'm going skiing.
Trying to.
On what? The dirt?
No, there's snow up there.
I'm good.
So he didn't. He told me before. He's like, I'm going skiing for the first time. He's like, but I haven't gotten. No, he goes, I haven't gotten
in 6 years.
I go, why? What happened? He goes, I got into a skiing accident. I go,
no, I didn't.
I go, how? Are you okay? And then he goes, no, he fell off the lift.
No, I didn't. He fucked up this whole story.
All right, tell us what happened.
Here's what happened, okay?
What happened.
I thought Conor McGregor was ahead of me in line for the ski lift.
Right?
So I immediately jumped up and grabbed the one that was passing in front of me. Now, you don't realize it, but that's a long way to go trying to hold on to a chair. And I'm yelling the whole time, Connor, I want to lick your butthole. Let me graph you. And then the guy turns around, not Connor, just a white guy. I released from the thing and I fell 100
feet. By the way, quick story. So I'm like, I can't wait for my like wedding. I'm like, CB will probably try to graph all the fighters. And
we
then,
already
and
established
then,
this.
And then Bree goes, no, it's okay. He could do the sign-in board. Get everyone to sign the board. All right.
Only are you having a bunch of, fighters coming to your wedding?
I'm gonna let regular guests be like, no, you don't need to sign this. Don't worry. But sign the guest book inside. All the fighters will be like this.
My stepmom's like, hey, are you going to invite cousin whatever? I'm like, no. She's like, is it going to be all wrestlers? Like, she doesn't even say fighters.
Yes. Yes.
Try Ric Flair is coming.
The Coco Beware.
Yeah.
You're getting Chavo Guerrero.
No, okay, so tell us how you fell off the ski lift.
I didn't fall off.
What happened?
I was on a chairlift. It was chair 23 in Mammoth. There wasn't a lot of snow. I was about 60 to 75 feet above the rocks and the little bit of snow there. There was 40-mile-an-hour winds pushing the chairlift, and I almost fell off. If I fell, I was dead. Guaranteed.
Sounds like it.
And so I lean over it, and I'm grabbing the chair, and I'm screaming, get me off this death machine, because I'm having an anxiety attack.
You were screaming,
attack.
Get me off death machine?
Yeah, get me off this death machine. And since then, I don't know why I tell you guys shit. I have a panic attack anytime I'm near a chairlift. So the first time in 5 years, I'm going to try and get
Jews shouldn't try sports.
Get me off the death machine. death machine.
Get me off this death machine.
That was more like
who
it.
The fuck says death machine? Why is everything a fucking cartoon?
So you held on to it until, and then what? How'd you hurt yourself?
I didn't hurt myself, but I almost fell off, and that gave me panic attacks.
Oh, so you just haven't been back? Like, fuck that shit.
I've been in the mountains. I've been in the snow, but I haven't been on the like skiing or snowboarding in 5 years.
Every time he watches the Olympics, he goes to a big.
Yeah, he starts sweating. Yeah,
that's not true.
Okay. All right, so Ben Henderson, Michael Chandler, this week in Bellator, Saturday night, Alan Jouban, pro fighter, ranked number 13 in the world, right? All right. Okay. So who wins this fight?
Depends on what part of the
he's
world.
He's ranked platinum.
Yeah. Sure. Who wins?
Which fight? What are we talking about?
Ben Henderson, Michael Chandler in Bellator this Saturday night.
Oh, man. I mean, just based on both of their last performances, I'm going to have to go with Chandler.
I knew it, boy. That's right.
I remember correctly, Benson Henderson came off of that win off of Pitbull because his knee was jacked up, right?
He shattered his shin.
And he was losing that fight.
And he was losing. He was getting it.
It was
he was
boring.
Getting it to him. Yeah. And then, Chandler just, with that last knockout, who did he knock out? The other Pitbull, right?
Patricky Pitbull.
And that was a brutal fucking knockout, man.
Yeah.
So, I mean,
Chandler looked great.
Two out of his three losses were to Will Brooks, who I could just say has his number. The other loss was to Eddie Alvarez, which I thought he won that fight. Mm.
Who was it that knocked Will out the last time?
Cowboy Oliveira.
That's who it was.
That's
why I liked Oliveira in that last fight.
You know, it became but it was
need to repronounce that.
He came
that's right, it's Oliveira.
But he came in 8 pounds heavier or something.
That's why Brian Stan. Yeah. Brian Stan only knows how to say one word in Spanish.
It looks like you're going
to
throw up when you say it.
Oliveira.
He also broke
his rib, and so it was like
it was a weird TKO,
right? But Cowboy was like, what, 7-0?
Yeah, 7-0.
6 or 7-0.
All right, MVP versus Fernando Gonzalez. This is going to be MVP's biggest test. Gonzalez actually hits really hard, 25 and 13, but he's tough. Who wins this fight?
Man, is Gonzalez the same guy that had a kickboxing match against
Paul Daly?
Okay,
yes.
Same guy. Very deceiving looking guy. Like, he doesn't look like he's as good as he is. But I mean, I gotta be on the hype train, man. Like,
yeah,
MVP
right
now. I mean, the guy's incredible.
No, if MVP wins his MVP wins his next three fights, could you say he's the best in the world? At 170? I mean, nobody's
Is one of them a title fight?
I mean, nobody's even coming close to him.
Yeah, but again, you know, this guy that... What's his opponent's name again?
Fernando Gonzalez.
Fernando. He's a tough guy, but he's still not like a notable guy. He's not a guy that's beaten notable names or anything like that. So until he's proven himself over some good guys. No, he's just a spectacular talent right now.
He wants Rory.
But this match makes no sense to me. I mean, MVP is a guy on the rise. They're trying to build his career, make him look, you know what I mean? Like, and then Fernando Gonzalez, like, who the fuck is this guy?
But he's not really a no-name in Bellator, Fernando. He's a tough guy, hard hitter.
He's
great
a step up.
But yeah, he's a step up. He's a step in the right direction.
He's a journeyman, though.
Here's the problem.
You know, MVP is famous enough now. He's popular enough now that he's a marquee match, and he should have a marquee opponent.
Who are the top five guys in 170 in Bellator?
I'm watching.
Doug Lima, who's now the champion.
Yes, MVP's a star.
Hold on. Hold on.
At 170 in Bellator, top five. You got Lima, who just won the title last weekend.
Yep.
You got Koreshkov, who has to still be number one or number two. You got MVP. You got Rory.
I would give him Rory.
Rory wants MVP. MVP
That's
wants
the fight.
Rory. But Rory said he's taking off till summer of 17 because he's got the injuries and the rehab and whatever. I mean, you. Blow in Roy's direction, you're fucking breaking his nose. So he wants to take.
Well,
a
Blow
of
will do that to him.
Brandon Gertz versus Adam Piccolotti. You know these guys?
Never heard of them.
All right. Francis Carmont versus Linton Vassell. You know?
Francis Carmont.
Carmont.
Who's he fighting?
Linton Vassell.
Don't know him, so I'm gonna go with. Carmont.
All right. Those are our
money on it, folks.
All right.
Vassell lost to Emmanuel Newton when the title was on the line, but when they had the rematch, Vassell submitted him.
Okay.
I think. And Vassell's a tough dude. I think he's got a good shot against.
Okay.
I'll tell you this. Carrie Melendez looks like a little makeup,
That's
Gilbert's
wife.
little spackle. She can
do her first MMA fight.
Is it really? And that's Kimbo, Gilbert and, Melendez's wife.
Yeah.
Oh man.
And Kimbo Jr.'s on the card.
Yeah, I met her. She's super cool.
I bet she
Kimbo
is.
Kimbo Jr.'s on the card.
Yeah. She actually won
the main event of the prelims.
Yeah, he was supposed to fight one of my teammates at Saxon, and then I think he got injured.
By the way, watching you coach was hilarious. Remember we went to the Bellator fights and you were in the you were coaching some of the other guys.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, yeah. Was it Anaheim or?
But like one time, one of your guys.
Irvine or Anaheim.
But one time. But you're a weird coach because one of your guys was fighting, and the whole time you were Facebook Living it.
Kyle, yeah. Kyle fought. That was it. The fight was over at that point. I was trying to get the decision because I thought we clearly won that fight.
Yeah.
29-28, or maybe even a 30-27. And then when they gave it to the other guy, I was shocked. But yeah, I was just trying to get a.
Which one? The Bellator we were at?
Yeah. It was after the fight.
The one that we watched in the car?
They put on the local fights afterwards. Like they put on local guys, and Alan's one of Alan's
guys. Oh, it was one of the post-limbs?
So we were like the last fight of the night.
Yeah, so it was a great fight. But Alan post-lim. Is in the octagon commenting to Facebook Live while his guy's crying in the background.
No. Wait, what was the guy's? Kyle what?
Kyle Estrada?
Kyle Estrada. It was a close fight.
It was one of the dark fights.
All right.
Yeah, he was supposed to be earlier in the card. It went late, so they got to push back.
They don't really call him dark anymore. They call him African Americans.
God, it's a wrestling term.
God, you're an insensitive prick.
Musasi Hall. Alan, I'm picking Musasi.
Did you see the odds?
What are the odds?
Uriah Hall's like a plus 450.
Wow.
Underdog?
Yeah.
Even though he won the first time?
Yeah, he's a plus like 445, 450. That's huge money.
Yeah. So you're saying put the money on him,
so
eh?
So take your parents' money. And
yes, hilarious.
Your grandfather came
really
to this country.
Wait,
does his parents have money?
His parents are fucking loaded.
It sounded like it because he said a while ago, like my winter home in Mammoth. Or
no, yeah,
I
exactly.
I was like, how big is it? You know?
Then him for a busy weekend is watching all these fucking like he's living on. You know, his grandfather came to this country.
Yeah. And what happened?
Well, he had nothing but a monkey's paw.
He's done.
Yeah, he had a monkey's paw
and two cranberries.
Right.
That's all he had. And he lived on the cranberries and he used the monkey's paw to entertain people on the street.
Wow. They were
like coins.
The rest of that monkey?
They were. that was the trick.
By the way, there's somebody on Facebook who commented on one of my posts saying, every time you roast me on here, I should choke you. I'm like, that would be kind of weird. And he's like, I will tip a fighter to the podcast every time you do it. And I'm like, this could make us a lot of money.
Yes.
I used to.
You didn't have to actually do it, CB.
No, but
he had three private sessions with Uncle Hanato.
The one thing is,
really?
Yeah.
I love the people that are now like trying to hand you the jokes on Twitter. I'll tweet something and they'll be like, his grandfather at the Greg Wilson ..
His grandfather came to this country .. And at the like, Greg Wilson. I have to finish.
But somebody tried and they're like, he had a pet. I think they said a pet rabbit, and I was like, no, it was a pet squirrel or some shit. And I'm just like, why are you motherfuckers trying to get him to do? He's not finishing your jokes.
Yeah.
What are you going to start a joke at the haha, and then Greg's going
to
come up and finish it?
They'll tweet me, make a joke about this. I'm like, I'm not a jukebox. Yeah. I'll make a joke about what I want to make a joke about. So Musasi Hall.
Musasi.
Yeah. Musasi. Yeah.
But you said it, man. This is a good one. I mean, Hall's dangerous against anybody, so why not put a little money on it?
It's a little close. Where does Musasi train now? Is he still out of the Netherlands?
And Hall's one of those guys that like wins fights. I think he's going to lose. He loses fights. I think he's going
to
win.
Yeah. So he's supposed to win the rematch and he's going
to
lose.
No, he's supposed to lose the rematch and I think he might win for some odd reason.
Well, plus 450.
It's a good bet. Honestly, I would take the bet. Stevie Ray, you know him? He's fighting Ross Pearson. Johnson versus Volkov. Ross, you going with Ross?
Yeah.
Johnson?
Why?
I like him.
You don't know Stevie Ray?
Don't know.
It's okay.
I know Stevie Ray Vaughan.
Did you know Tim Johnson's the favorite in this fight?
Really?
Yeah, which I find very strange because Volkov's a former Bellator heavyweight champion, touted guy, tough guy. I've got Volkov all day.
Now, is Lobov good, or are people just...
Yeah, he's Conor's right-hand man. He was on The Ultimate Fighter.
That means nothing.
No, he's a heavy hitter. He beat... The original 209 versus SBG, when it was Chris Avila versus Artem, that fight was bad. But this fight promises fireworks.
Ben Askren says he's like the worst fighter in the UFC, Lobov. He says that
I don't know if he's the worst fighter in the UFC.
Because he can't believe they found a guy for him to beat, which was Chris Avila. That's what Askren
said. But he was in the finale of The Ultimate Fighter, and if whatever his name was didn't have visa issues, he probably would have won if he didn't have to fight Ryan Hall on short notice. But Lavov's a tough dude.
Oh,
Ishihara,
that guy Connor's guy. That's
yeah, about, and Ishihara's a fucking scrapper too. They're gonna beat the shit out of each other. This is fight of the night.
I just love
caliber.
It. Like if any white guy said, "Hello, Utah bitches," right? Like
I love my bitches.
I love my bitches. People would get all up and, oh, I can't believe he's calling girls bitches.
Do you see what he wears around town, though?
Let me finish. But when an Asian guy says it, it's cute. Yeah. Like, for some reason.
Oh, it's very Hello
oh,
Kitty.
Oh, that's the fight we're talking about. The funny Asian guy.
Yeah.
The alpha male, Ishihara, is fighting Lobov.
Yeah, that'd be
do you
a
see what he's
fight.
Wearing around the locker room and shit,
what
though?
Is he wearing?
One of those little, like, fucking, it's like a banana hammock bathing suit that barely covers his dick, and then the two little, like, little straps. Yeah. And he has it. He was hanging out with Kyoji.
You mean like the Boris?
Yeah,
the Borat.
The
yeah,
Borat
like
swimsuit?
Yeah.
Well, who doesn't?
But he's hanging out with like Kyoji Horiguchi, who's fought for the title against DJ, and
that's
he's just
awesome.
Standing there like this, and it's
you're
fucking
not,
weird. But after
that personality,
yeah,
like
Ishihara
it.
After his last fight, he posted that picture of like five girls in his room. They're all laying on top of him. Like, all right.
Well,
so
it took five to find his.
Dude, I don't know, man. Something about. Like, how many Asian girls have you banged in your life, Greg?
I really don't know the number on that.
Really?
Yeah.
You could,
I mean, it's got to be, I mean, over a dozen.
Over a
you
dozen,
know?
Yeah. You, Alan?
One. At least one. At least one that we know about.
Stick with that number.
Yeah.
Have you seen
it? Zero.
Never fucked an Asian girl?
Nope.
Have you ever killed one?
No.
Really? And that, why not?
Why haven't I killed one?
No, why haven't you banged an Asian girl?
I don't know. I'm just not attracted to them.
Really?
Yeah.
There's not enough meat on their bones. The skin is a little too tight. It doesn't fit well into my body outfit suit.
Wait, what's a body outfit suit? What
it's a suit that I'm making out of human skin.
Oh, okay.
And so you need girls with a little more meat on their bones.
Okay, I understand.
You know, Hispanic girls, fantastic.
Yes.
White, you know. White,
Samoans,
white. Unbelievable.
White.
But yeah, white girls, decent.
Quite white.
Yes, but the Asian girls, just a little too thin on the bone.
All right, so. I
don't get enough out of it, although they do make good tools. I actually,
You can giggle or fucking snicker in the middle. Like people are not fucking.
You can do whatever he wants. All right,
actually,
Neil McCall versus Neil Siri. Neil Two Tap Siri. How's he done in his last couple fights?
Neil Siri, it's not great, not horrible, but this is his last fight. This is his retirement fight.
Oh, now what I always think when a guy has a retirement fight, it's usually not a good sign. However, I get proven wrong. Mark Munoz. Against Luke Barnon,
yeah.
Retirement fight.
I thought he was going to get murdered.
Is this Ross Pearson's retirement fight? Please, someone let him go.
But it does seem like usually it's not good when it's their retirement
Every
fight.
Every time I see him, I'm like, what? What?
Yeah, but a lot of guys.
I mean, I love the guy, but I mean, he's all scar tissue.
A lot.
So?
Yes. Let him live his life. I don't know.
A lot of people that announce it, like, in their hometown or whatever, like Uriah, will get all of Sacramento. Mark Munoz did it in the Philippines because he's Filipino. He has a big tie to there, and it was their first Filipino card. Neil Siri, he's Irish. It's in Ireland. So all of his people can come. They don't have to travel more
than
blocks. So they announce it. But I agree with you, and I kind of like it sometimes where you're like, is this guy going to do it? And they don't announce it, and then they lose or win, and they're like, you know what? That was it.
So, Alan, who wins? Zach Cummings or
McCall.
Yakovlev?
Oh. We're doing me and McCall still.
No, Yakovlev or Zach Cummings.
Oh, wait, is this welterweight, guys?
Isn't Zach Cummings 170?
Yeah, it's 170.
Alexander Yakovlev. His nickname is Thunder of the North.
He's
23
decent.
And 7 from Russia.
Yeah. Well, those Russians are tough, but I don't know either of them, so I don't.
Zach Cummings
I'll be watching.
I got Zach Cummings.
All right. Let's go to UFC Fight Night.
What about your boy Kevin Lee?
Kevin Lee wins. Ryan Bader versus Nogueira. We already went over this, but I haven't done it with Alan for the fight, so that's why I'm trying to get his
Bader.
Insight. So I'm trying to
go
think
that
of,
much.
So
over
if he doesn't know who these guys are, I'm not going to talk about.
Yeah,
it.
And I got to bounce.
Yeah.
Go
so
anyway.
Bader versus Nogueira.
Bader.
Okay.
It's a rematch
why?
Too.
Because he's always loses one, wins two, shit like that.
Okay.
Yeah.
I like that fight though. That's going to be a good
Thiago
fight.
Thiago Alves versus Usman. Is that your weight class too?
You mean Warley Alves?
Oh, Warley
Alves.
Alves.
Oh man, that's an interesting matchup, man. Warley is a beast, but the thing about him is he's got when he doesn't destroy people in the first round, man, you can see it in his eyes. Like he saw it with me. I could see that he was like, oh fuck. And then when he lost his first fight to
Brian Barberena.
Exactly. Yeah, you could see he had that whole shit in his eyes. And he's a tough guy. That Usman that he's going against.
Kamaru Usman.
Yeah, really good wrestler.
Nigerian
really
nightmare.
Yeah, you know what could happen, though? This guy, I think Usman, I would put my money on him to win. But if he shoots in, he's a wrestler. Worley Alves has one of the best guillotines in a welterweight division.
That's how he caught Colby Covington. I was there. I was in shock.
Yeah, exactly. So I'm thinking he's probably going to be smart enough not to give him his neck, but it could happen.
All right. Well, that's pretty much all the guys I want to talk about, other than Claudia Gadella versus Courtney Casey.
Say that again?
Claudia Gadella.
I don't know. I just like the way you say it. Claudia Gadella.
I got Claudia.
Yeah, she's pretty hot.
Yeah, she is.
Christ, she's hot.
She's shredded.
Yeah. All right. Well, listen. Where are you going to be, Greg Wilson?
I don't know.
Awesome. Alan?
I'm doing my student showcase at the Improv in the Lab this Saturday at 5 p.m. So yes. If you want to see what I do with the stand-up comedy and what I create with these guys, that's coming to the Improv in the Lab on Melrose Saturday at 5 p.m. And then that evening I'm at the Kibitz Room at Cantor's World Famous Deli doing the Comedy on Rye show.
Right.
At 8 o'clock. I don't know. It's on my calendar.
Yes. Alan, if people want to come to your fight, could you get some kind of get credit if they say like they put their code or something? Or
sure, yeah, tell them my name, guys. Tell them my name, see what happens.
Right.
We don't get shit.
How do I get tickets to your fight in Sacramento?
But I don't even know, man. I've never bought tickets to a UFC fight that I can remember. Maybe go to Ticketmaster, I don't know. But December 17th,
go to UFC.com.
UFC.com, you heard it right there. On Big Fox, man, check it out. It'll be a good one.
It's exciting, man. Good luck with that.
How much are
thank
tickets?
You, thank you. I don't fucking know, man.
CB, how much are tickets for his fights?
If it's a fight night, probably not.
No, it's a UFC on Fox.
Super. Yeah, but that's considered a fight night.
That okay. is, yeah.
Probably not super expensive. Can't really give you like the exact figures, but it's not going to kill you like a 205.
You don't know the tiers? You don't know the... Well, obviously, if you're right going to... Ringside, it's going to be 472, and then tier 1 through tier... You know, if you want the G section, that's going to be surcharge, and then...
All right,
well, I'm looking right now. Hold on.
All right, well, listen, next Wednesday night, Des Moines, Iowa, I will be at the Funny Bone next Wednesday, Friday, and Saturday in Des Moines, Iowa. So come see me. Also, the week of New Year's Eve, that whole week, I will be at the Stratosphere. If you're going to UFC 207, come check it out. Thank you.
Oh, by the way, yeah, I'm also doing the Stratosphere, the 12th through the 18th. And New Year's Eve, I will be at the Comedy Spot in Phoenix, Arizona.
Nice. I love it. Well, thank you. Thank you, Alan. Thank you, CB. Guys, have a great week.